loan specialist.
Loan subject to lender approval. On Deck Partners with MYOB.
I'm Peter Holden. Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk will travel to the state's north today to assess the damage caused by 4 days of torrential rain and flooding. The region between Cairns and Townsville has been declared a disaster by the state government and a catastrophe by the Insurance Council of Australia. More than 700 millimetres of rain fell in a number of catchment areas in 4 days, with the Boulders south of Cairns receiving more than 1,000 millimetres in 7 days. More than 200 homes were inundated at Ingham and some residents at Innisfail had to evacuate. Queensland Emergency Services Minister Craig Crawford says crews are waiting for the waters to recede before they can begin cleaning up.
At the moment, what we've got is just a lot of rain and a lot of water. Once we can clear that, most of that infrastructure left behind should be in a relatively pretty good position. But obviously, until the water moves, no one can get in there.
A police hunt is continuing for a group of young men who fatally stabbed a father in his Western Sydney home. A distraught woman screamed, "I love you," from the Durack Street address late on Friday night as 36-year-old Errol Tokan was taken by ambulance to hospital, where he later died. A group of at least three men had approached the house, threatened and stabbed Mr. Tokan before several witnesses heard them cheering as they fled the scene. US President Donald Trump says he's spoken with Chinese President Xi Jinping about possible talks with North Korea. Mr. Trump tweeted overnight, "President Xi told me he appreciates that the US is working to solve the problem diplomatically rather than going on with the ominous alternative. China continues to be helpful." Labor's Shadow Foreign Affairs spokesperson Richard Mulls says as one of North Korea's closest allies, China needs to be involved in the process.
It's really important that an event of this kind doesn't marginalise China. The fact that there's been contact between the US and China overnight gives me comfort that China is going to be engaged and invested in this process as well, and I think that's very important.
The power balance between companies and workers is at the centre of a major new union advertising campaign. The Australian Council for Trade Unions will launch its largest national media campaign in a decade today. They want changes to improve job security and help workers get pay rises that keep up with the basic cost of living. ACTU Secretary Sally McManus says the 8-week campaign will highlight the power big businesses have. The former drug company executive found guilty of defrauding investors has been sentenced to 7 years in prison. Martin Shkreli wept as the judge handed down his sentence. Rachel Silverman has the details.
Martin Shkreli was convicted last year of sending fake account statements to investors while concealing huge losses from two hedge funds. His fraud convictions are unrelated to an episode for which he is most notorious. Shkreli made headlines in 2015 when his company bought a drug used to treat AIDS patients, pregnant women, and the elderly, and raised its price by 5,000%. He's also known for issuing a bounty for a hair from Hillary Clinton, who repeatedly criticized him during her presidential campaign. Shkreli's been sentenced to 7 years in prison and ordered to forfeit more than $7 million to the government to cover his fraud. Rachel Silverman, San Francisco.
This is Air News. Warriors coach Stephen Kearney has heaped praise on journeyman recruit Blake Green, but has told his players not to get carried away with their 32-20 opening round win over South Sydney. New Zealand were irresistible against the Rabbitohs, running in 6-4 in front of nearly 39,000 fans at Perth's Optus Stadium. 5'8 Green start against the Rabbitohs, with a 31-year-old proving to be the perfect foil for scrum half Sean Johnson. Coach Kearney was happy with the first up performance of Green, who is now at his 6th NRL club.
His energy that he presents, at training day early in the week, and in the sheds after a game, and that's just the way Blake is. He's a real olden day footballer, if you want to call him that. And so I think that's he's had a real positive influence.
To other NRL matches, the Storm beat the Bulldogs by 18 and the West Tigers upset the Sydney Roosters by 2. In men's Super Rugby, the Queensland Reds were victorious over the Bulls 20-14, whilst in Super W, the New South Wales Waratahs routed the Reds 18-0 in the inaugural season opener. In the AFL women's competition, it was a day of upsets, with Collingwood knocking off Brisbane by 14 points and the GWS Giants leaping to second on the ladder after defeating the top-of-the-table Western Bulldogs by 3 goals in Canberra. Finally, to men's cricket, and after the second day of the second test in Port Elizabeth, South Africa have a 20-run lead over the Australians, ending the day at 7 for 263. Australian Independent Radio News.
And here is a champion! Cracksman wins the champion in fantastic style!
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe. First time.
time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
This month, we're cooking up a storm at Bingley.
What are you cooking, Mum?
It's a metaphor for our kitchen and laundry month.
I knew that.
No, you didn't.
I know there are top brands like Miele, Smeg, Westinghouse and more on display, and our cooking experts in store. And a bonus 10% gift card on selected ovens, cooktops and range hoods.
Come and see what's cooking at Bingley.
That's a metaphor?
No, it's not.
Check out our kitchen and laundry month at Bingley.
G'day. No, down here. I'm Billy, one of your two kidneys. Day in, day out, all I do is work. Filtering your body's internal goings-on and cleansing your blood. Oh, it's good work, and I don't mind it. But what I do mind is when my ability to work gets put at risk through stuff like smoking, diabetes, obesity. Ah, the list goes on. And if I shut down, you shut down. So this kidney health week, do me a favour. Take a simple online test and find out if you're at risk. kidney.org.au.
Milos Nikovic, Rolando Vardaman, can hit them from long range, will try one.
Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Such a comfort to look across the desk here and see the great Ray Thomas sitting here next to me.
Always good fun on a Sunday morning, isn't it, James? They come in and...
I tell you what...
Especially after round, what has been an extraordinary opening round of the 2018 NRL season.
I tell you what's not fun. Right up until about now.
What's
then
that?
It gets... getting up early on a Sunday morning.
But now's fun.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Right up until now.
You don't worry about getting up. Hey, Jim, how about round one? Because I just run a couple of things past. Could you have scripted it better? The Matt Lodge pass intercepted by Ben Hunt on the way to a St George win. Mitchell Pearce, field goal, extra time. The Knights get up over the Seagulls, 19-18. JT's kick through to Gavin Cooper in his 300th game, the match winner for the Cowboys. The Tigers, upset from the Roosters. Sideline conversion. The Warriors, upset the Rabbitohs. And then... we get on an even keel with Storm winning. But what a round it's been so far.
Been fantastic, hasn't it? The crowds have been excellent. The footy's been okay at different stages, you know, from a handling point of view.
Cowboy
early on
Sharks
in the season.
Great.
Very good game of rugby league as well. Had to fight hard, didn't they, the Cowboys? Yes. Really upset by the fact that Michael Morgan was out just on Matt Chiefs. So too Luke Lewis.
Correct.
For the Sharks as well. And I feel for Sione Katoa, this young winger who's going to be a really good player. Broke his jaw. First game, not good news. 20 points to 14, the Cowboys over the Sharks. What about Thursday night? Oh, Dragons fans dancing in the street out
got
of Cogra.
Got a halfback at last.
You've got a halfback.
Makes such a difference.
Oh, what a player Gareth Widdop's going to be.
Oh.
Because Gareth Widdop doesn't have to worry about running the team.
Exactly.
Ben Hunt's going to do that. Did a very good job on Thursday night. The Bronx, question marks.
Most un-Bennett-like Broncos team. How many mistakes they're handling. I know it's only round one and you've got to give a team a month to settle down, but that was so un-Bennett-like, wasn't it? They just made so many mistakes, the Broncos.
Well, the things that St George Illawarra have now, the Broncos don't, and that's an organising halfback.
Yep.
They do not have that. Cody Nikorima and Anthony Milford don't provide that.
Brilliant players in their own right.
Oh, undoubtedly.
But
however, you need your yin and your yang.
Very good way of putting it.
Mitchell Pearce, by the way, Mitchell Pearce up there at Newcastle, he'll be patrolling Merriweather Beach. He'll be manning the cake stalls for the Country Women's Association. He'll be helping
the city.
Little old ladies cross the street up there. Is there a better way to start his career in Newcastle?
You could have scripted this round. Is he still your son's favourite player, even though he's left the Roosters?
Yes,
is he?
Yes, he is. Still a Roosters supporter, but Mitchell Pearce is still his favourite player, and of course he watched it in extra time. He's very excited to go to extra time on Friday night. You know why? Because they got to stay up 10 minutes extra. Makes a big difference when you're going from 7:50 to 8 o'clock. West Tigers 10-8. A really enthusiastic performance. Benji Marshall played
didn't see
well.
Much of that, unfortunately. But
yeah, obviously, yeah. Disappointing for the Roosters. Very disappointing.
How did Benji play?
Very well. Well, I saw the second half, but very solid. He's not Benji Marshall circa 2008, but Benji Marshall circa 2018 is more than serviceable.
Effective, yeah.
Yeah, effective. That's a good way to describe him. And the experience. Game management's not something we usually associate with Benji Marshall, and yet we got parts of that yesterday. So well done to the West Tigers on that one. I thought the Warriors were brilliant to watch. I thought that fast field.
Had they? Gee, I saw most of that game. Gee, they were ordinary rabbits.
Did you like the fast field? Did you notice the field was fast? As in players, those players with speed, whether it be
a rock hard footwork, surface. The commentators were saying that a few times.
Yeah, but I thought that was significant in those two games. And look,
were the Rabbits that bad? Seriously, their defence was ordinary. Their attack was okay at times, but they bombed so many tries. But their defence...
If Dane Gagai looks inside and finds Alex Johnson, it is massively game on in that one, when they were one short Solomon Carter off the field.
And the forward pass, too. Wasn't a forward pass.
No, I agree with that. Cody Walker set up that try. And then 36 points to 18, Bulldogs defeated.
Order restored.
There were some positive signs for the Bulldogs. There were some good signs there, but this Melbourne... Cameron Munster. Billy who?
How fast did Cameron Munster look last night? She was quick.
That's what I'm talking about, that fast field. So the other thing about this is Billy Slater has not yet indicated whether he'd like to run around for the Melbourne Storm. Now, if he says, you know what, yeah, I will, it's going to cost him $1 million.
What do you mean? Next year.
Next year. It's going to cost him $1 million. What's wrong with Cameron Munster at fullback?
He was brilliant last night. Electrifying.
It's going to be an electrifying show today. Coming up very shortly, we'll have our race replays. Pat Webster. Was there a more popular winner yesterday?
No. In a word, no.
No? Happy Clapper. What do you say? The second most popular horse behind Winks in Sydney?
Yeah.
There you go. Well done. Pete Snowden had the tie on again for Red Zell.
How good's this horse? He now holds the two course records at Ramford for 1,000 and 1,100. I'm trying to think back. Maybe a listener might tell me when a horse has done that before.
$8.2 million in prize money. Thanks very much for Red Zell. We're all wondering what happened in the Lightning. We can ask Pete about that.
Well, Wade Kirkwarrie won the Newmarket. That's what happened. He's a very, very good straight course horse.
What about that? Did you see that race down there, the Newmarket?
Yeah. Isn't it? Inside and outside.
It's so frustrating. It must be a nightmare for Matty Hill. By the way, happy birthday, Matty Hill.
It's his birthday today.
Okay. Must be a nightmare trying to call that.
It wasn't frustrating. It was good to see that there was no bias towards the inside or the outside. That was a good part of the Newmarket yesterday, because quite often there is definite sides of the track you need to be on.
Speaking of bias, Zorba will be on the program. What?
Have the great man back.
You can't tell me there's not a strong manly bias running through everything he said.
We played for him. He's not going to be biased towards men. It's human nature.
I know he's been involved with the organisation for over 40 years. However...
He's a great man, Zorba. It's good to have him back on the team.
Glenn Schofield.
One team here, James.
Yeah, exactly. I just wish I was a part of it. Glenn Schofield, by the way. What about Kementari? I was speaking to some Godolphin types last night via text message. I think you had the headline today, electrifying.
It was, yeah. He was awesome, yeah. And he's described as a $20 million colt now, and someone said, where'd you get that price tag from? Well, one, he's not for sale, but two, he's worth every cent of $20 million and probably more.
Long
with that one group, one win, yeah, out of a Redoute's Choice mare. He was outstanding yesterday against an outstanding field.
Yeah, it just exploded. Glenn, I'm really fascinated to ask Glenn about the ride itself. It probably got a little further back than anticipated.
Yep, but he always, and he'll tell you, he'll always had confidence that the horse, when he pressed that button, I know it's a cliche, he would just go back and dip. Didn't he go? Jeez.
Absolutely. Event Cinema's quiz, score update.
Is it 4-4?
No.
James Smith in front, 5-4.
5-4, thanks very much. Yeah. Be very careful around that.
Corner
exactly. Dean Bulldog Richie will be on the program as well, giving us all the latest in the world of rugby league. We're going to have our legend of the game. Stand by for this one.
Wow.
He only played 4 test matches, so you go,
regarded as one of the all-time great batsmen.
Donald Bradman picked him to open the batting in his 20th century team, team of the 20th century.
Ian Chappell batted alongside him one day, almost all day, and said he'd never seen a better innings from anyone.
Barry Richards, Barry Richards. He can talk us through this test match that's going on as well. By the way, Australia now trailing South Africa, or South Africa leading Australia. 7 for 263, South Africa. AB de Villiers, 74 not out.
He's
what a player.
He's the key.
What a player. Mitch Marsh picked up a couple of late wickets. Pat Cummins got a couple as well. So really keen to knock over those last three wickets, the Australians. And, of course, we'll have a sports update with Tanya. We're going to have a chat with Nathan Brown too, the Newcastle coach, because just the emotion around that city yesterday would have been pronounced. They would have been
it's
so
great
excited.
For Newcastle, because he's we've spoken about it a couple of times before, that Nathan Brown has been sort of coaching with two hands behind his back the last couple of years. He's got a football team now.
Not anymore.
He's got a football team now. And can they make the eight? I don't know. Can they finish maybe top 10? I reckon they can climb up the ladder significantly this season. They're building there. They're building.
Can they upset plenty of people up at Newcastle?
Correct. Absolutely.
Absolutely they can. So we'll have that. Trent Lanscale and Scotty Foster as well. So all that to look forward to. Real heart in your mouth stuff yesterday at Royal Randwick, though. Just incredible vision, incredible photos that appear in today's Sunday Telegraph of performer jumping sideways. Did a helmet, big sidestep, and Huey Bowman, world's best jockey, on the turf and didn't move for about a minute, you're saying, Ray.
At least a minute, yeah.
Really, really scary scenes at Royal Randwick.
It was eerie, Jim, because this was about inside the final 200 metres, right in front of the grandstand. It was an eerie silence went over Randwick. The race was finished. I had a quick look at who won, and I wasn't sure if it was Al Merton he got there. But your eyes just went straight back to Hugh Bowman. He didn't move for at least a minute, probably a little bit longer.
Wow.
And when he did try and get up, he raised his head and tried to get up on his elbow. People started clapping, applauding. It was an extraordinary moment. And I can report that, fortunately, he was briefly knocked out. It seems in that instant he hit the ground with a real thud. But was taken to hospital, no broken bones, has got concussion.
Did he spend the night in hospital?
He didn't. He went home last night.
A few That's
cuts,
a good sign.
Cuts and, yeah, exactly, yeah. So, overall, what looked a horrific incident, he's got out of it okay. Not sure when he'll resume riding. I'm pretty certain he won't be riding midweek, but I dare say he might be back for Saturday. Certainly no issue in regards to Winks and Golden Sippet on the 24th.
Yeah. All right. We'll take your thoughts on, if you're there at Royal Randwick, give us your understanding of events around Hugh Bowman. What did you think of the first six games of the National Rugby League, 1353-53? Get us on the SMS as well, 0419-767-272. We've already had one come in from Don from Carlton, who has actually moved over to Perth, apparently. So there we go. Apparently deported is what we're hearing. And he sends this in. Hi, Ray. What a great start to the footy season. The Mighty Dragons, led by the unwanted Ben Hunt, humbling the Brisbane Shetland Ponies on Thursday night. The Silvertails losing to a Mitchell Pearce field goal in extra time. The experience of attending the brilliant Optus Stadium in the new hometown of Perth with Mrs. Don and 38,000 other fans. But best of all, getting a text from my brother Gaz as I arrived at Optus Stadium to tell me that the West Tigers had just dined on chook stew. Best of all, when I texted Jimmy Smith to commiserate, he replied, "Who is this?" It was almost enough to make a grown man cry with joy. Don from Carlton.
Would he be up listening to us now? What time is it?
Who cares?
4:18. Good morning, Don, if you are up.
If you are up, Don, get a life. 1353-53. But just going back to that fall of Huey Bowman, it's inspired us for a talk topic today, and that's during a sporting event, whether you're live or whether you're watching on TV, when your heart's in your mouth.
Yep.
When the anticipation of what might happen is too much. I remember it. I was at the 1991 State of Origin game at Allianz Stadium, as it is now, Sydney Football Stadium at the time. Mm. Wally Lewis and Mark Geyer were walking off at half-time. It was a match.
David Elias getting in between them. And
David Manson.
The referee was
right in the middle of everything. And everyone in the crowd was thinking, oh, my goodness, what is about to happen? Yeah. So that was a real hard... We'll take your nomination on this. We've got a Winx cap to give away too, Raymond.
Does this one qualify?
Let's see.
I couldn't move. The last session, 2003 SCG test match, as Steve Waugh getting close to 100 against England.
Mm.
And he got that 100 off the last ball. I don't think I moved a muscle for that final session, as Steve Waugh just kept stroking the ball through the covers and through point for four time after time.
That's your superstition coming into play there, not moving like the Australian dressing room.
Is that heart in your mouth stuff?
Yeah, that is heart in your mouth. What's going to happen next? What's going to happen next?
Could he get it before stumps?
Was it your birthday? Is that right?
It was, January 3.
January 3, your birthday. So how old were you turning?
39, is that right?
39. So, what did you do on your birthday, Ray? Oh, I sat still for 3 hours. is that what you did?
Steve Waugh described it as his perfect day.
His perfect day. Well, it's just about your perfect day.
It was, we got done on the last ball.
On your birthday.
Who was the bowler?
Richard Dawson. There you go, Richard Dawson. 1353 53. That is the open line number. We're going to take a break here. We'll be back with some race replays. But that's our talk topic for today. Heart in your mouth moments. There's been a few of them in the National Rugby League in round one.
Sky Sports Radio and Tabcorp would like to remind you donations can be made to the National Jockeys Trust at any time. The Trust assists jockeys and their families experiencing financial hardship. Next time you back a winner, go to njt.org.au.
It's yearling sale time and Dynamic Syndications will be active again at all major sales. As primary syndicator for the Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott Stables, we invite you to join us as together we aim at massive prize money. Our family-operated business has been involved with 13 Group 1 wins, including the Cox Plate, Golden Slipper, Caulfield and Rosehill Guineas, Blue Diamond and many more. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com, follow us on social media or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3368-08.
El Mandan and Heartbreak City, what a finish to the Melbourne Cup. El Mandan putting his nose in front of Heartbreak City, they hit the line. El Mandan won it by a very narrow margin from Heartbreak City.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. 7:21 on your Sunday morning, and what are you pointing to there, James?
Black caviar at Royal Ascot, the milkman at Yass.
Did you watch that live?
Yes, yes.
What did you think?
Oh, I thought, what's he done? Luke Nolan.
Do you think she'd just won?
I thought she'd won.
Yeah. That's a very good point, because you waited for that number to come up in the frame, but she got the job done. Extraordinary scenes at Randwick yesterday. It was a sensational day's racing, track records falling, world-class performances, and we had this in the Todman Stakes. Let's listen to the call of Al Merton's win, but particular the Hugh Bowman incident.
F Troop sliding through, gradually joining and heading Legend of Condor around the turn. Plaguestone in third from Al Merton, Tchaikovsky, and Bowman getting hard to work on Performer, getting it to the outside, up the rise now. Legend of Condor's coming back on F Troop. Al Merton the inside from further back to Tchaikovsky, and Performer's got a lot of work to do. Legend of Condor, F Troop, Tchaikovsky, Al Merton, oh, Bowman's off the favourite Performer. F Troop's kicking back from Al Merton. Al Merton and F Troop, Al Merton. Al Merton for Andrew Atkins got up to cause a boil over in the Topman, beating F Troop and Tchaikovsky.
Yeah, back to Bowman there as well from Darren Flindell. Sunlight still the $4 favourite in the Golden Slipper. Esther Jarb, $6. What does that mean for Performer? Still in the market at $8.
Yes, I spoke to Chris Waller about that later in the day. Still pressing on to the Golden Slipper. The horse is fully qualified.
Yes.
Like at a Barrow trial prior to the Golden Slipper, and Chris is thinking about blinkers as well. So, wasn't ideal.
No.
He effectively had pretty much a race anyway, Performer. So, he hasn't missed that run.
Yes.
So,
Al Merton, the winner. Now a $15 chance.
And Sean Dubois, congratulations. He's come out of nowhere with a horse by a French stallion. And two from two, and he was tough yesterday beating F Troop, so he's right in the mix. Esther Jarb won the Riesling Stakes just earlier. Also ran very fast time. Al Merton went a fraction faster, but both those two-year-olds are now certainly safely into the Golden Slipper. Well, here he is, Red Zell. We'll talk about order restored. back to his absolute best and breaking track records for fun.
Takedown and Terra Vista is the last one. Well into the straight now. Blake Shin right over the neck of Super 2. 5 lengths clear, but Redzel is starting to cut into the margin quickly. It's Super 2, 3 in front. Redzel goes to second. Nothing making much ground out of the pack. Super 2 still in front, but Redzel's got her in his sights now, and Redzel powers away the last little bit. Redzel goes on to win the challenge from Jungle Edge second. I think Super 2 scrambled into third in front of the...
If you'd taken the $1.40 that was on offer for Red Zell, did you ever raise a sweat? I don't think you did, did you?
What about when Super 2 was five in front at 400 metres and flying? So well, 1,000-metre race.
Did well to hang on for third. Sustained speed there. But Red Zell, as you say, order restored. Jumped okay. We'll speak to Pete Snowden a little bit later on in the program, talking about the blinkers in the Lightning and whether he saw Redkirk Warrior.
55.73 for 1,000 at Randwick. I never thought I'd see the day. That is just flying. Well, here he is, Happy Clapper, the Canterbury Stakes. He won a Group 1 in the spring in the Epsom. This is his second Group 1. I reckon he's going better than ever, Jim.
Glamour with the uncontested lead in front from the three-year-old Showtime, then Tulip, Endless Drama, Invincible Gem gets to the outside, then Happy Clapper. Boy, Clearly Innocent gives away a big start. Global Glamour giving them something to catch. 200 out. Global Glamour two lengths clear. Happy Clapper's getting the gap from Endless Drama. Then came Invincible Gem. Global Glamour still in front, but here comes the Clapper. Happy Clapper moves up, takes the lead, and Happy Clapper wins the Canterbury Stakes. Rendown Global Glamour, Invincible Gem.
Yes, we're talking about the popularity of Happy Clapper, and we'll speak to Pat Webster about that. There's another track record.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
As but you say, not a lot not of 1,300 metre events.
Not often a distance that's run at Randwick, but he is flying. Global Glamour was game in defeat. A couple of nice runs in that race. Invincible Gems return. Endless Drama was okay, Jim. So, and Clearly Innocent wouldn't be sacking him.
So he's going to the George Ryder, Happy Clapper?
Stay tuned. Pat Webster rang me last night, change of plan.
Oh, so I read all last night. I read all your articles last night about where Happy Clapper would go.
George Ryder was in the mix, but there's a change of plan.
Did you tell him, listen, Pat, deadline's passed and I can't get it in the paper for tomorrow?
I said, Pat, we'll talk about this in the morning. He said, not a problem.
So, okay, well, that's interesting.
Stay tuned. Yeah, really interesting. Now, this is an absolute star. A star was born yesterday, Jim. His name is Kemantari.
Then Peaceful State from Parada. Further back, the Chaotic and Kemantari gets to the outside. Coming up the rise now, Siege of Quebec sustains the run. Going to join Trapeze Artist. Ace High's battling now. Kemantari to the outside. And further back to Parada. Kemantari gets going now at the 150. Kemantari dashes away in the round mechanics. From Trapeze Artist, Parada fighting out second and third. But it's a favourites victory. Kemantari beats Parada. Trapeze Artist third. And I think Ace High may...
I think James Cummings said Kemantari to five, and Glenn Schofield counted to 10 before he let down Kemantari. Oh, remember he said a month ago, Glenn Schofield, I can't wait to ask him about it. It's got gears, this horse, and I didn't even use out of first. I wonder what gear he got to yesterday.
I went. I was kindly invited out to Godolphin Trackwork earlier in the week.
Read with interest your article on Friday.
The confidence out of that camp, because I've been a P. Rada fan, as you know, since Magic Means Day. I left that track work session that morning and thought, well, they can't beat this colt. He was just absolutely humming at track work. He looks at, he's a magnificent looking 3-year-old.
Did you back him?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, good. Even better.
Good thing.
And Kemantari, where does the name come from?
I did some homework for once in my life.
Yes.
Out of a mare called Yavana is the dam.
Yes.
So I had a look. Actually, Suzanne Philcox, another piece of her inspirational naming.
Yes.
Yavana is actually a character in a J.R.R. Tolkien novel.
Which novel?
The Silmarillion or something.
Okay.
It's an offshoot of the Hobbit ones.
Anyway. Right.
Cut a long story short, she's the goddess of nature and earth, and her last name is Kemantari.
Yavana Kemantari.
Yeah.
There we go. Nice one.
There's 10 seconds of your life you won't get back, James.
We won't ever get that. There we go.
Move on.
Why don't we clip that up and send it to the bosses here?
Oh,
yeah,
great.
Interesting. Yeah, shall we
no, wonder we're stuck, no wonder we're stuck on a Sunday morning. Yeah, okay. On to the new, on to the new mark.
What are we listening to? The ABC Book Club right now?
You did ask me.
Oh, you know why I asked you?
Because I said
because
it up.
During the course of the race replay, you said, I learned what Kemantari means. I said, oh, what's it mean? He said, no, you asked me.
I was pretty proud of myself. Why not? One of those things that didn't quite work as I'd hoped. We move on. New Market Handicap. It was a great day for David Hayes at Flemington yesterday. He's the first of a Group 1 double, the brilliant straight course specialist, Redkirk Warrior.
Over on the flat side, it's Booker with Rock Magic chiming in. Lord of the Sky followed by Brave Smash. Rich Charms running on from Merchant Navy. Redkirk Warrior leads the division over here at the 200 metres. Rock Magic and Booker over on the flat side with Brave Smash coming through as well. Brave Smash descends at the 50, takes the lead. Redkirk Warrior going with it. Photo finish. finish, they're wide apart. Brave smashed Redkirk Warrior, followed by Merchant Navy.
What is Redkirk Warrior?
Right. Now I know when I say one team and you go, I wish I was part of it. You left me out to dry there. No wonder you won't join the team, which is one team.
Redkirk Warrior, $7 winner there at in the Newmarket down at Flemington. It was
TJ Smith Stakes, I think.
Okay, Redzel, $3 for the TJ Smith. Chautauqua gets out of the stalls, $11. In her time at $11, Redkirk Warrior, $11. All second line of betting.
Redkirk did beat Redzel.
Yes.
The Lightning,
yes.
But the Sydney way of going is as effective, and it always rains during the championships, which Redzel absolutely
loves.
You've
just made sure it happens there.
That's why he's $3, the rest are 11 and longer. On to the Australian Cup, David Hayes, Ben Hayes and Tom Dabney again, their Group 1 double, this time with Harlem.
The Taj Mahal just in front of supply and demand. Galo Shop on the outside is hanging tough. Harlem's trying to bullock into the clear. And then came Holmesman down the outside from Lord Fandango. Galo Shop strikes the front at the 200 from Harlem. Ventura Storm into the clear. Galo Shop joined by Harlem. Ventura Storm, El Mandan runs up behind them at the 50. Harlem takes Galo Shop. Harlem just in front. Harlem. Harlem's won it by a neck, Galo Shop. Third on the outside, Ventura Storm from El Mandan.
So $61 chance there for Harlem.
Gee, El Mandan was stiff.
El Mandan again.
So
El Mandan currently an equal favourite with a loft, $8 at the Sydney Cup. Harlem at $11 there along with Liberin and Ventura Storm. Is that the anticipated path?
I'd say you wouldn't go to the QE, would you, and take on Winx? You're more chance win the Sydney Cup. Jim, did you happen to see Uptown Lads win in the provincial championship qualifier at Hawkesbury yesterday in the last?
I didn't.
Outstanding. Clear last, right down the outside, got up in the last stride for Kim Waugh. So Uptown Lads through to the provincial championship final on April 14.
Fantastic. And we can look forward to that as well. So we're looking for the heart in the mouth moments. We had one just then when Ray told us what Kevin Tarry.
You won't
the meaning
forget
of.
This, will you?
Never. 13:53.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Come on, what?
I was going to say, you weren't interested at all in that?
No, I was.
Until I tried to
and
deliver
when you, and when you eventually told me, it was fascinating.
About the delivery?
13:53 the open line number. It is 29 minutes to 8 here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
One team.
Kembla Grange holds centre stage this Friday with the running of the prestigious Group 3 Kembla Grange Classic and the Bert Lilly Memorial. Friday morning at 10, get the Kembla winners right here on Sky Sports Radio.
If you love a bet, then we bet you'll love our $50,000 projected Big Six pool on the Country Championships qualifier meeting at Grafton today. That's right, $50,000. Don't miss a minute of the action with Sky Racing live on the Tab app. You can even watch while you scroll our great odds and bet. Download the Tab app or visit tab.com.au. Tab, we love a bet. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly.
Lucy was just 5 when she was removed from her parents after years of trauma and neglect. Her elderly grandparents took her into their care, but they were desperate for help to meet her needs. Thanks to Mission Australia, they're now wrapped in a blanket of support, and Lucy has transformed into a happy, healthy girl. Help vulnerable Australian children and their grandparents when crisis hits. Call 1-800-888-868 or visit missionaustralia.com.au to donate today.
Judy has sent in an SMS. All the best today, Steve. This is producer Steve. All the best today, Steve, with Jimmy. He's in fine form. Ray's had to pull him up about 4 times. It's only 30 minutes into the great show. Love you, Jimmy. You sound like you still have a bug, Judy. Yeah, you're the bug, Judy.
No, she's not. Good morning, Judy. Are you still crook?
No, I'm fine.
Is that because you called yesterday, your voice or your...
No, nothing to do with it.
Your nasal passages are okay. They weren't last week. Tanya says, move on quick. This is important.
Fancy yourself as a bit of footy tipping ace. If so, be rewarded with your NRL tipping skills with a chance to win a trip for two to the Hong Kong International, the Melbourne Cup, or the Cox Plate. Four Cox Plates? Winks? It's too easy to join the big Sky Sports Radio tipping comp. Just go to the Big Sports Breakfast website, click enter now on the Fox League predictor, register and opt in to join the Sky Sports Radio League. That's it, done. Get your friends to join in too and enjoy some friendly rivalry throughout the footy season. It's all thanks to our friends at Fox Sports and Ambassador Travel. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly.
Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. Looking for the heart in the mouth moment is what our talk topic is this morning. Happy to talk anything. There's lots of sport going on, including Tiger Woods.
Yeah, now, he was 3 shots off the lead and equal second. Just calling the leaderboard up now, James, to see how he was going. Got to 6 under Tiger.
Okay, we'll keep you updated with that throughout the course of the morning. 1353-53 is the open line number. We've got callers there, Raymond, so let's go to Brian. G'day, Brian.
Good morning, boys.
Good morning, Brian.
On the Hugh Bowman sector,
yeah.
For the best jockey in the world that he claims to be, I think it's about time they start to learn to ride a little bit short, not longer, with their knees level with the weather, not past the weather.
It's funny, no, Brian, because I actually had a conversation with the chief steward, Mark Van Gestel, yesterday about this, and because some of the guys in the press room said it's a toe on the iron stuff,
yes,
etc.
Again.
Hugh Bowman actually has his foot further into the iron than most of the other jockeys. So it's one of those freakish incidents. I don't think you can apportion blame, Brian. It was one of those things where the horse did a sidestep just as Hugh was a fraction off balance, and it was very unfortunate that it happened when it did at that point of the race, but fortunately Huey escaped pretty unscathed.
Yeah, well, I ride track work too, and I ride with 5 foot in, but I ride long with my knees level with the weather.
Yep.
Now, with a horse, if Huey was riding longer with his knees level with the weather, he might have been able to stay on that horse. Because if that horse is going to whip the left or the right, that's
me
going to hold you
on. Yeah, it was one of those, we lost him, one of those freakish things, Jim. And I had a look at Mark Van Gestel, showed me the slow-mo replay, and it was just at the very point that Huey's trying to get his balance right, the horse is on the Benji Marshall sidestep.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how far your foot was in the iron or the leathers were down, I think it would have thrown any jockey.
Was Ronnie Quinton on course? What did he have to say about it?
Didn't catch up with Ronnie, no.
That'd be interesting. Yeah. That'd be interesting. Because that is a big debate, how deep in the irons these jockeys are. Yeah. It's been going on for a number of years.
Just an update on the golf. Tiger still 6 under, only 1 shot off the lead. Connors has dropped 2 shots. He's 7 under, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players tied for, in second spot, including Tiger.
Are we talking Masters now, are we?
Adam Scott got to -4 today.
Yeah, he's playing well.
Got a 66.
1353-53. Andrew's there. G'day, Andrew.
G'day, how are you?
Really
morning,
well.
Andrew.
That's good. Oh, look, I just want to, back in 2007 when Andrew Johns played what was eventually his last game anyway, he was up in Newcastle, he got tackled, he injured his neck. The ground's packed as it normally is up there in Newcastle. He was on the ground for a few minutes and you could have heard a pin drop. Absolutely silent.
You were there, were you, Andrew?
I've never experienced anything like it.
And was it the next week they played against the Canberra Raiders, and he got a knock?
Yeah.
He got a knock. I'm trying to think who the player was that knocked him. It was a Monday night game, and that was his final game of footy.
He just knew, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah. So I was a guy all the week out, was I?
No. It might have happened the week before, and then he injured it again.
And then he announced his retirement on the Tuesday.
Yeah. That's it. That's right.
Much on the spot.
That's right. Yeah. Good one, Andrew.
Yeah, good call.
What's the chance of a wins cap?
I think you're right in the running. I think Jim's actually writing me down as we speak, Andrew.
I'll tell you what, Andrew. Yeah. I'm going to give you an asterisk for the mention of the moment, and then I'm taking one away.
Geez, you're a hard man, Jim.
But you can't just out.
He's doing his best.
You can't just blindly ask for a wings cap.
It was a good call.
It was a good call.
And he's
however,
running.
Went too far asking for the wings cap.
In other words, his poor guy's got no chance now. Is that right?
Pretty much. Hi, Jimmy and Ray. Hard in the mouth was Friday night watching the Knights, fully expecting them to clutch defeat from the jaws of victory. The one thing now Nathan Brown needs to swallow his pride is about his promise to Connor Watson that he will play 6. Brock Lamb was the reason the Knights won Friday night. Played well, Brock Lamb, when he came. I tell you, Connor Watson, when he went to dummy half, sparked
injected,
didn't he? 2018 is the year of the Knights. When do the grand final tickets go on sale? Cheers, Muzz.
Can they make the 8, seriously?
Of course they can.
You reckon they can?
Yeah.
Did you tip them last? You didn't.
I put them in the 8 early doors, and then I've taken them out. I've got the Dragons in the 8.
I reckon they can get to about 10th, just miss. But they're building, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Something building in Newcastle.
Absolutely. Kalen Ponga played well. Mm. Star of the future. 13-53-53. Anthony's on the line. G'day, Anthony.
Good morning. Good morning. Ray, did you better do Ray Guy train? You better do hold both track records at one stage?
Gee, yeah, that's a good point. He was an absolute flying machine, you bet I do. Did he hold two track records at Randwick, though, Anthony?
I think he held 1,000. Not too sure about 1,100.
Yeah. He was an absolute flying machine. You're 100% right. He broke track records for fun, didn't he? Yeah. But,
Good old Ray Guy. Good. He's with his son. Good going.
Great trainer.
I got three very quick ones. Probably boring ones. One was Michael O'Connor's solo conversion in the mud to win the State of Origin, which I think is the same game as the Guy Lewis situation.
Exactly right, Anthony. Yes.
Yep. Good one. Yep.
The Eloise penalty to get us in the World Cup.
Oh yes.
That's brilliant.
And the Tiger ball taking an eternity to drop. Was that one of the majors?
That's when you could clearly see the Nike sign on the ball.
And the Nike ball stood there for eternity before it dropped.
I reckon
great advertising.
It was the 16th. I don't know what tournament it was, but it was the whole 16th. For some reason, I think I remember that.
Was it the Masters? It was the Masters.
It might have been the Masters.
Wasn't that big long putt that went around the corner?
Yeah.
The Tigers in front.
Yeah, the big long, with a chipper or putt that went for ages.
Yeah, no, yeah. Good one.
Good call, Anthony.
Anthony,
right,
do you want a Winx cap?
Well, only if it's available.
Ah, correct answer. So there you go. You get a double asterisk.
We can't promise we're not giving one.
No, I'm not. I just asked whether they want it.
Well,
see, if you blindly want it, then we're going to take it away.
Okay.
And a sad one for me was when Gillespie smashed Sterlo's shoulders and he didn't get up and never played again.
In 1991.
That was a sad one for me. Yeah.
1991.
And all Paris supporters.
Gee, he had a great football brain, Pete Sterling, didn't he?
Still has.
Oh.
He's still got his brain,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. 13-53-53. Thank you, Anthony. You're the open line number. We're going to take a break because after the break, we're coming back. We're going to have a chat with Paddy Webster.
Reckon you know your NRL inside out? Join the Sky Sports Radio tipping competition and you could win epic prizes like a trip to Hong Kong or the Melbourne Cup. As well, it's free to join. It couldn't be easier to play. In fact, you'll get a reminder each week so you never forget to put your picks in. To be part of the fun, sign up at bigsportsbreakfast.com.au today and opt to join the Sky Sports Radio League. Thanks to Fox Sports and Ambassador Travel.
See website for details. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly.
This month we're cooking up a storm at Bingley.
What are you cooking, Mum?
It's a metaphor for our kitchen and laundry month.
I knew that.
No, you didn't.
I know there are top brands like Miele, Smeg, Westinghouse and more on display and are cooking experts in store. And a bonus 10% gift card on selected ovens, cooktops and range hoods.
Come and see what's cooking at Bingley.
That's a metaphor?
No, it's not.
Check out our kitchen and laundry month at Bingley.
There are a couple in front of Moa, who's starting to close in strongly. Mighty Lucky, the inside goes well. Then Duke of Valentinois on supply and demand. Fabrizio's trying to come back on Royal Tudor, but Duke of Valentinois letting down. God's in him up the fence, but Duke of Valentinois drawn clear in the cup from God's in him. Then Pajaro rattling home, but Duke of Valentinois got them beaten. Duke of Valentinois won the cup.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jim and Ray, 7:43 on your Sunday morning Big Sports Breakfast Weekend show. As I mentioned earlier, Jim, it was an exciting day's racing yesterday, and one of the real excitement machines of world racing really right now is Red Zell. He just does extraordinary things. Broke the Randwick 1,000-metre track record yesterday, and his trainer, Peter Snowden, is on the line. Peter, good morning. Congratulations, and gee, it was good to watch yesterday, Pete.
Hey, good morning, Ray. Jimmy, it certainly was. It was good to see him get back to winning form and win as well as he did. There's a lot of authority. It was good to see.
Yeah, so what do we think back to the Lightning and think about that defeat on that day?
The form's held up, Jim.
Well, that's right, with Redcoat Warrior winning again yesterday. There was talk about the blinkers and maybe Redzel didn't see Redcoat Warrior. What's your thoughts on it now, Pete?
He ran terrific. Like, the time was exceptional.
Right.
Kieran wrote him a treat. It's just that when you look back at the replay and just see what was happening, he was just getting one of those real gun runs. He was just smoking up behind him. He, like, he's ridden forward yesterday. He's ridden back off a hot speed in the Lightning. And you could see he had a lap full of horse, but he was just very, very well timed. He just popped out about about 90 metres to go and just charged late, just had a full head of steam up and just pipped him right on the post. So very good ride, but I thought my boy, he went terrific. He went, he couldn't run much quicker than what he did. The sectionals were outstanding. He ran 56.5, I think, from memory. And I think the last final was a 10.03, so very, very fast time. He ran superb. Just pipped right on the post, but he made a management yesterday and won in good time and with authority. He was very strong to the line. Karen said that was the best part of his race yesterday. He said he just felt so good going through the line. So, from future viewpoint, I said it was a TJ. That's what we wanted to hear.
Hey, Pete, the theme today of our show is heart and the mouth stuff. Was it heart and the mouth stuff for you when Super 2 was absolutely flying five lengths in front, top of the straight?
Yeah, no one. The horse too, like we beat it fairly easily 2 weeks ago in Melbourne, and I thought there has to be a stop point somewhere. He couldn't possibly keep that speed up for the whole 1,000 metres. But to Karen's credit, he rated that horse perfectly. We said that pre-race we need to do our maths really well because we need to be very good late, so we need to be conservative but be very strong late because there's a couple good back markers in there. We have a lot of respect for the three-year-old and also Gay's horse. She's a first-up specialist and looked amazing yesterday. It just looked very, very well. But Karen rated him really well and he was very strong through the line and he's starting to pull right away late.
I was reading about Red Zell and how used to do things perhaps a little wrongly when he was a colt, now at 5 years of age. Do you still see improvement in the horse, Pete?
Look, it's good to say yes. It makes me feel good to say yes. But look, he's only got to hold his own. I think he did last year was good enough, and he's come back in exactly the same form, and he looks the same, feels the same, and everything the same about the horse. He's probably just a bit tougher. This horse, he's still in his prime, like he's five, coming six. So I think that's this will be his time when he's fully matured. And we really looked after him, and quite often you do that. Good things keep happening, so hopefully we keep him sound and things keep going well, and we keep him in the frame of mind that he is at the moment.
Peter, talking to you during the week, I know long term you've already got your eyes on trying to go back to back in the Everest, but for now, is it straight into the TJ, maybe a barrier trial in between over the next month?
I think that'll be the plan with him, Ray. It's worked with him quite a few times like this, though, where it's just a nice trial, probably 10 days out. And it'll be a good trial just to clean his wind out and have him where we want him. But he doesn't need consistent racing. We did think about going back to William Reid, but a bit back to Melbourne, back again, we don't really need to do it. He has been a month between runs and pulled off career best run, so I think we'll stick with that plan.
How'd the tie go yesterday, Pete? Was it all right? You got the superstitious tie.
I'm terrible at that. It's just something. Mind you, if I wear a tie and have a bad day, you'd never see it again. It works both ways. So that tie, actually my mother-in-law gave me a tie almost identical. I wore that all through my, on good days only. When you really want a bit extra help, I wore it all through my Dali days. And I can't tell you, if you look back, it was very, very lucky for me. And then I got that old, Lynn wouldn't let me wear it anymore. So my daughter Lisa bought me a tie almost the same. And now that's the one I wear when I really want an extra bit of luck on the day.
I think my colleague, Matty Jones, got the full brother, hasn't he, Pete? He was very proud of that yesterday. He said,
I never is. That's one thing. I'm not a fashion freak. I just wear clothes that Lynn puts out, and that's it for me. And I don't take my photos to anybody else. And when he showed that tie, I thought you would believe it.
Exactly
the same tie,
He was very proud of that,
Scorched the Earth over the 1,000, 1,200 as well, we know has great ability. Do you have the best distance, do you think, for Red Zell, Pete?
I think 1,200 is his best trip now. I think he can control speed and he can kick off a hot speed. So I think around a corner, all those things add up to, I think, probably 1,200 is probably his ideal distance now.
And just finally, Pete, Emperor's Way, won his fifth run of seven this prep. He probably should be unbeaten. Broke through at stakes level. Gee, he's been a good horse.
Yeah, what I like most about him, Ray, is his tenacity at the end of his races. He's just really determined. He keeps putting that head out. And I knew when I was going to get close to last furlong, and I thought he's not going to die one of his bikes. I know he's going to give everything he can, and he just worried the other horse out. I thought it was very, very gallant effort. He was given a good ride. They went steady early. The sector sort of helped him, and sort of you'd expect him to run on. It went very slowly early in the race, but still he got to do it and did it at a level that he hasn't been to before. And so he's done an amazing job. He's definitely a horse to look forward to later on.
Pete, you know it's coming. King's Trust, an update, please. How are we going? Is it still a cult, or are we now talking about it as a gelding?
No, he's still a cult at the moment, as we know last time, and he fell apart a bit late. He started to lighten off pretty quickly, so he left him a cult just to build up a bit more. He had a good spell. He has come in stronger. He looks a bit like probably you and me now. He's got a bit bigger girth around him. But he looks in good order, mate. He's only been back a week, but he's smiling at me every morning. Whether that's a good sign or a sign he's going to have the land of us again, we'll find out.
Well, Jimmy's up on his toes already, Pete.
So we're not a chance for the slipper. I just want to confirm that.
We'll leave that to somebody else.
Okay.
He's already talking Everest and Royal Ascot and everything.
You want me to come in for the negotiations for the Everest, Pete?
I was thinking more like Bong Bong.
Oh, we don't want to hear that, Pete. Thank you, mate, for this morning. Well done yesterday. Fantastic, exciting times with Red Zell ahead.
I appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Pete.
There he is, Peter Snowden. A couple of winners yesterday at headquarters.
You'd be a hard man to train for, wouldn't you?
I wouldn't have thought so. Pretty easy. I went out there and just, you know.
I reckon Pat Webster could train for you easily because he takes things in his stride.
I'm sure he could.
Let's ask him. Pat, good morning. Well, Pat, first, thanks for joining us, Pat, but we'll get serious here. Happy Clapper yesterday. I think I wrote during the week he's probably Sydney's most popular horse outside of Winx, and he got a fair reception yesterday after winning the Canterbury Stakes, Pat.
Yeah, I was surprised. It wasn't that big crowd, but no, it was good. I was, surprised and very happy.
Mm. How's his fame thing sitting with you, Pat? You know, you seem to be handling it pretty well, huh?
Oh, no, but I've had a touch of it before, but you can never have too much.
It's easy to get used to, I guess, Pat, when you've got a horse as good as this bloke. We're mentioning earlier, Pat, yesterday, immediately after the race, you were talking George Ryder and Doncaster, but you're thinking possible change of plan now?
Well, I'm going to have to talk to the owner, through the week. Look, he always says the trainer gets his way, so... He says, I don't know why you bother asking me because you only get what you get what you want anyway. But we keep going back to Clapper's second run up last time, when he ran second to Winx and the George Bain. That was a great run. So that's in the back of our head about having a trial and then running in that. But I don't know. It's a bit hard. Tried and true is running in the Ryder and then running in the Doncaster, you know. But he had been, in normal times, he's sort of been about 70% ready first up, where yesterday was sort of, there wasn't a lot in the tank after yesterday. So I've got to be very careful of that.
And I remember after the George Ryder, even though he won the Epsom, you said he wasn't as good in the Epsom as he was in the Ryder. So are you concerned that Winx might just drag something out of the horse going into a Doncaster?
Yeah, well, that's what happened. That is what happened, but... and then going back over that again, I didn't have him as fit as what I did like yesterday. So, look, whether you do or whether you don't, rock in a hard place. And I'm not worried about running second to Winx because we've learned about 2.something million running second to him. I'm quite happy to add to that. And if it suits to conditioning for the Doncaster, that's the way we'll go. But look, I suppose to answer your question, we'll just see how he does through the week. It's not a decision that's got to be made to this morning. And it all depends, about Thursday or Friday. And you'll be the first to know, Ray. I can assure you of that.
Thanks, Pat.
Can you hold it over to the Sunday show? We get a scoop here, Pat?
No. Can't hold Sunday.
Okay. All right. No worries. We just thought we might do that. Hey, I heard you speaking during the week too. I think it was either Sean Cosgrove or Andrew Bensley on radio, and you spoke the way you spoke about Winx. You're in awe of the mare, and you know you've been around racetracks for a long time, Pat. I guess you easily understand the impact of a horse, what a horse like this can have on not just racing but beyond racing as well.
Well, my daughter said the other day, she said, "Don't worry, Dad. She's not a racing person, but she loves the Clappers. She's in Melbourne. She said, don't worry, Dad. They'll be watching Clappers races in 30 years to come." I said, "How do you work that out?" She said, "Because Winx is so great horse." But didn't he run second to her three times, so they'll be looking at him too.
Exactly,
but
yeah.
I am in awe of it, but the thing is that the connections of Winx are so nice about everything. I know it sounds a bit corny and Waller and that, you know, it's pretty... You do run second, but you don't it's not a hard sort of thing. It's because everyone around is really grateful for the position they're in with us. So it's pretty easy to take. And we're grateful too. But the day that Clapper did run a good race against her in the George Main, she did have them earmuffs on.
That's right. Mm, yeah.
So that complimented him because after they took him off, she just added about another five.
Exactly. Hey, I'm talking about running second. You've been second the last two Doncasters with the Clapper Pat. I know I asked you yesterday. It's a silly question to ask, but is he going better than ever? And if that's the case, can he go one better than a Doncaster?
Well, it all depends, you know, with these three-year-olds, Ray, what weight they get in with. And look at the horse. Won the Villiers the way he won again the other day. And
crack me up, yeah.
I remember when Clapper won the Villiers and we crept into the Doncaster like with 51 or 51 and a half. And it means a lot when you get in with them with them light weights. It's different at weight for age. I think we showed yesterday, someone asked me the question. I said, look, weight for age horses are weight for age horses and handicappers are handicappers. And that's what we couldn't forget about yesterday. Mm. There's horses in it that weren't weight for age horses. But getting back to the handicap, you know, well, look at James's horse. You know, what weight will that get in? But I am very, very weary of the Billy's form and horses like that coming with the weight. And if one of the others doesn't accept that above Clapper, he could even move up to 58, which I would find it very, very hard for him.
Yeah.
Beat them horses on the lower scale.
Mm, mm. Kemantari is... Yeah, sorry, Pat.
Yes. And then, you know, you poor old Clapper, and then you switch back to Wade Brage, and he's got Winch there looking at him. So.
Well, at the moment, Pat, you're on 57 for the Doncaster. Kemantari's on 51.5. So.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah. And that might help explain the price. $4.60 Kemantari. Happy Clapper is $8 at tab.com.au. Hey, Pat, we really appreciate your time this morning. Congratulations on Happy Clapper. And we'll be very interested to hear direct from you to Ray Thomas about exactly what the path is going forward.
Well, Ray has been really good to my family. And he's a fan of the Clapper. So he's always the first to know, Jimmy. But I'll just say, you'll be second to know.
Hey, good on you, Pat. Congratulations again for yesterday, mate.
Fantastic, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks, Pat. Not the first time I've run second to Ray Thomas.
Oh,
don't worry
on.
About that. 13:53.
I know the pecking order here, and I'm about number five.
We know the pecking order.
James Smith on top.
Here we go. We've got lots of SMS coming in.
Look what Kenya's wearing.
Oh, the Happy Clapper hat. I didn't notice it. I saw the pink hat there. This comes in. I'd love a Winx cap, Jimmy, to fix being rude to me. Judy. What about this one that comes in just before we get to 10? Vicky from Port Macquarie says, hi, Ray and Jimmy. My heart is in my mouth every Sunday morning at 6:59 a.m. in anticipation of what the next few hours will bring.
So are we, Vicky. Don't worry.
Will there be a foot in the mouth or will the show run smoothly? What an exciting life your listeners lead.
The show never runs smoothly, does it?
Exactly. Could you tell us the time when the show did run smoothly? Thanks. Vicky,
this is always smooth, though.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Time now to say good morning for the first time to Tanya with the scratchings around New South Wales. Morning, Tan.
Morning, boys. Morning, everyone. It's Country Championship Qualifier Day today at Grafton and Bloke Opal Day at Canberra. Let's start with Grafton, where the weather is fine, the track is soft 5, the rail is true, and there are 30 scratchings. Race 1, take out 5, Wall of Silence, 10, Missy Musketeer, and 12, Skill Set, 5, 10, and 12. Race 2, number 3, Polmic, 7, Mr. Smarty, and 9, Mobile, 3, 7, and 9. Out of race 3, number 8, King Capel Chief, and 10, Splinter, 8, and 10. To race 4, take out 7, Reckless Choice, This Is Class, Layla Dane, and 15, Our Red Jet, 7, 8, 10, and 15. Race 5, number 3, Hard Merchandise, 5, Everyday Lady, 10, Milne Bay, 11, The Exhibitionist, 12, Positive Spin, and 13, All About Charlie, 3, 5, 10, 11, 12, and 13. Race 6, take out 7, Mediterranean, 9, Cascata Rossa, 17, Ready for Danger, and 18, Supertonic, 7, 9, 17, and 18, out of the Country Championship qualifier, that race set 4:405. Race 7, take out 4, The Socialist, 5, Solar Lady, and 15, Nonchalante, 4, 5 and 15. And race 8, take out 5, Collins Creek, 11, Silent Stature, 15, Damn Fine, 16, Western Alliance and 18, Demoralising. 5, 11, 15, 16 and 18 out of race 8 at Grafton. To Canberra, the weather is fine. The track a good 4. The rail is out 3 metres the entire circuit. Penetrometer 3.99 and 25 scratchings. Race 1, take out 1. 1, More Tipple. 16, Notre Temps. 17, Rhode Island. 18, Fruitful Warrior. And 19, Pepita. 1, 16, 17, 18 and 19. Race 2, number 7, Tyres Are Crucial. And 11, Red Heat, 7 and 11. Out of race 3, number 10, Rose of Man, 11, Miss Liffey, and 17, Eve's Miss, 10, 11 and 17. Race 4, number 2, Spectroscope, and 13, Onslaught, 2 and 13. The fifth is clear. Race 6, take out 1, Ouvre, 3, More Energy, 8, Emperor's Way, 12, Smart As You Think, and 16, Charlie Royale. 1, 3, 8, 12 and 16 from race 6. Race 7, take out 1, Prairie Fire, 2, Legend of Condor, 5, Exceltic, 6, Ale Merton, 7, Paquiri, 10, Tchaikovsky and 14, Nuclear Blitz. 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, 10 and 14 out of race 7. And race 8, number 1, Atlantic Sentinel, number 1 out of race 8. At Canberra.
Thanks, Dan. Some tips today. Grafton, big meeting up there with the Grafton Country Championship qualifier. Race 5, number 2, Tristan DeAngel. Promising horse, Jim. Very hard to beat. And in the Country Championship qualifier, race 6, number 4, Runway Ready. I think can win for Matty Dunn. On to Canberra. Black Opal Stakes Day, yes, in Canberra. Race 3, number 4, Lake Lugano. She's got to carry the grandstand. I think she can do it. Race 3, number 4, Lake Lugano. Down then to race 5, number 12, Ridicule. Promising filly from Brad Witt up, Damien Flower. Race 5, number 12, Ridicule. And it could be a locals win in the Black Opal. All those scratchings. Nick Olive's got Sizzling Bell ready to go. 4 out of 4.
Sizzling Bell. So that's race 7, number 12. Sizzling Bell in the Black Opal. 13:53:53 is the Opal line number. We'll put all those tips up on social media too if you miss them there. Need to improve your strikeout a little, I must say, on a Sunday. You're struggling a bit. Bragging about how you're going on a Wednesday.
No,
and
I wasn't
a Saturday.
Bragging.
You were in the break. You
no,
did. Anyway, we'll come back and sort that out, and then we'll also have a chat with Zorba and including Glenn Schofield as well after that win on Kemantari.
News Hour.
Police are appealing for motorists to drive more safely after a horror last 2 days. 5 people have lost their lives on the state's roads this weekend after 4 fatal crashes on Friday night and a motorcyclist dying after colliding with a tree near Jindabyne yesterday. The current New South Wales road tolls is at 78, which is 28 more than this time last year. Chief Inspector Philip Brooks told the ABC, "We need to take more care."
Sadly, in many of these cases, it's personal responsibility that is sadly lacking on many road users.
2 males have died following a boating incident at Policeman's Point in northeast Tasmania. The men were fishing in the area with another male around 4:45 p.m. yesterday when the 5-metre dinghy they were in started taking on water. Attempts to remove the water from the boat were unsuccessful and the boat started to capsize. All 3 men entered the water, but tragically only one of the males made it safely to shore. The incident was attended by police, ambulance and the Westpac rescue helicopter. A report is being prepared for the coroner. Queensland police are searching for a group of Irish tourists accused of running a number of scams in the state's southeast. Brisbane and Gold Coast police have received 12 complaints about the group of 9 men and women. One man lost $25,000 after they failed to carry out promised roof repairs. Detective Superintendent Tony Fleming said the men have fleeced thousands of dollars from elderly homeowners with bogus agreements to fix roofs and driveways.
It's not the first time people have come from another country and committed offences like this, moving around fairly rapidly from place to place and committing these types of offences, and it does make it difficult for policing and the community to actually locate them.
$1 million reward will be offered for information on the execution-style murder of gangster Willie Thompson in Melbourne more than 14 years ago. Thompson was murdered while alone in his vehicle on Waverley Road in Melbourne East about 9:30 p.m. on July 21, 2003. The 39-year-old had just left a nearby martial arts gym when he was shot several times by 2 men who pulled up beside his car. He died at the scene. At the time of his murder, Thompson was known to police and had a number of connections to a range of gangland figures, including Nick Radev and Carl Williams. He was also known to be involved in drug trafficking with particular links to Western Australia. US authorities say three women who devoted their lives to helping traumatised veterans were killed by a patient who had been kicked out of their Northern California treatment program. A day-long siege of the pathway home ended with the discovery of four bodies, including that of the gunman. He was identified as 36-year-old Albert Wong, a former Army rifleman who served a year in Afghanistan. Police spokesman Chris Childs praised a deputy who exchanged fire with the gunman.
County Sheriff's deputy put himself in harm's way knowing that he had an active, ongoing situation that involved shots fired and exchanged initial gunfire with the suspect. We credit him with saving the lives of others in the area by eliminating the ability for the suspect to go out and find further victims.
This is Air News. Greater Western Sydney stormed into second on the AFL women's ladder after scoring an upset 18-point win over top-of-the-table Western Bulldogs in Canberra last night. After a slow start, GWS booted six of the last seven goals to run out 7-4-46 to 4-4-28 victors. The Giants are now neck-deep in the premiership race, and if Melbourne lose to Carlton this afternoon, they'll remain in second with just one regular season round remaining. GWS coach Alan McConnell says he's proud of how his team has exceeded expectations, including after their opening round loss to the Demons.
I just spoke to the captain now, who I remember saying after round one, she hoped we'd played well, and there was relief that we did, even though we lost the game. And I think that told me a really strong message about where the group's at. So, yeah, it's just wonderful for our girls and our footy club and our team.
In yesterday's other AFLW match, the Brisbane Lions grand final hopes now hang in the balance after a surprise 14-point loss to Collingwood. To Super Rugby, the Queensland Reds have defeated the Bulls 20-14 at Suncorp Stadium, whilst in the first ever Super W match, the New South Wales Waratahs routed the Reds 18-0. In the National Rugby League at the New Perth Stadium, Melbourne defeated the Bulldogs 36-18 and the Warriors beat the Rabbitohs 32-20. In the earlier game at ANZ Stadium, the West Tigers knocked off the Roosters 10-8. And finally to cricket, where South Africa hold a 20-run lead over Australia in Port Elizabeth, ending day two of the second test at 7-263. Australian Independent Radio News.
News Hour on Racing HQ brings you breaking news, interviews, and Tuesday track work notes from Lizzie Gels.
How is she for tomorrow?
She's ready to race. We made the choice to wait for Hugh to return from suspension. He's a big part of her success.
Keep up to the mark with what's happening in racing with News Hour. Tuesday to Friday mornings on Racing HQ at 9. Here on Sky Sports Radio.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Shiraz Grenache by De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
This weekend at BCF, boating, camping and fishing, club members get a massive 20% off the entire store. Join Club BCF for free and grab a sweet Easter deal. If you're off to the airport, look out for roadworks on O'Riordan Street between Roby Street and Joyce Drive. Diversions in place, expect delays. There's a 60k speed limit on Captain Cook Drive between Kurnell and Cronulla due to the Gear Up Girl Bike Challenge this morning. And in Miller's Point, we've got roadworks on the Kent Street northbound on-ramp approaching the bridge. Market Street in the CBD is closed between Elizabeth and York Streets this weekend for light rail construction. Detours in place. Follow signage and drive to conditions. Details at livetraffic.com. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
You'll love that autumn racing feeling with our great offers on the country and provincial qualifying races that'll get your fist pumping. Get involved today on your TAB app, tab.com.au or at your local. TAB, we love a bet. See tab.com.au for details, gamble responsibly.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney's weather. Currently, Jimmy, we're 18 degrees, but we're heading for a top temperature of 26 today. Mostly sunny day. Light winds becoming east to northeasterly, 15 to 25 k. So beautiful late, well, it's not really summer anymore, is it? We're in early autumn day. What's the current temperature at French's Forest?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to Fishwick in the nation's capital.
French's Forest, currently 18 degrees. We'll get to 27 degrees. And Fishwick, I don't know why you pick Fishwick, Ray. That's just you, I guess.
you pick Fishwick.
Sunny. Tanya's head popped up. Sunny and 32 degrees.
Griffin, back to the half back. Mitchell Pearce this time. You betcha.
Pierce,
the long-time rooster, is a hero for the Knights.
You're
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Oh, I know we say it every hour, but this hour, Ray, this hour, it's going to be a very big hour. Zorba very shortly. Glenn Schofield after the ride on Kemantari. The Event Cinemas quiz.
Update score.
5-4. My favour. And Dean Bulldog Richie, we'll take your calls as well on 1353, the heart
happening.
In the mouth sort of stuff. But what an incredible start to the National Rugby League it's been. The anticipation was, I think, greater than ever before.
And the crowds have been fantastic, haven't they?
Crowds have responded, and we're not done yet. We've got a sellout out there at Pepper Stadium, pretty much.
I saw your tweet during the week, why not have a show where they have the teams announced on the show?
Could have a show. Easily do a show with that.
AFL do it.
Yeah.
They love it. Yeah, and you're right, the anticipation was there, wasn't it?
Oh, massive anticipation. And I know a guy who was looking forward to it. They had it was a tough loss for them on Friday night. You know that there'll be wins ahead for the Manly Seagulls. Our man Zorba's on the line to talk us through all his thoughts on the games thus far. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray. Well, what a weekend it's been thus far. We love our footy. I know you guys do. We text most Saturdays when the games are on.
Friday nights, Thursday nights, Sunday afternoon.
<Yeah. laughs> Three-game Super Saturday, though. Strike me, it's a marathon, isn't it?
Yes.
I was nearing full-time in Perth, the Storm versus the Bulldogs. I've got to say, I wanted nine eyes. I wanted out. Boy, what a stadium, though. Mm. The light show was just awesome, and that was spectacular.
Yeah. So much anticipation and obviously optimism around sides when you go into a season. Zorb, who's impressed you the most? Who's been your biggest disappointment?
Well, most impressive, St George Illawarra against Brisbane. I thought they looked very, very sharp, and they looked like they'd filled a couple of holes that they wanted filling. And we know that Widdup is a great player. He's going to benefit greatly from Ben Hunt beside him.
Yep.
I thought that they were very good at St George Illawarra. And I thought, and I always never thought I'd say it first round, the New Zealand Warriors. Their first win in 10 goes in Perth. I know they just dominated South Sydney once they got into the game. I was very impressed with a makeover that's happened there in New Zealand. They're trim, they're taut, they're terrific in 2018. Full marks to Steve Kearney. He's battling to save his job. There's no stomachs anywhere except on the blue shirt legend Stacey Jones. So I love him. I like the on-field circle of deep breaths.
Yep.
It could be a serious football side at last there. Fusatua is a star. He's up there with the two wingers from the Melbourne Storm in my book. I just think he's a great, great winger. Sean Johnson with room now to play because of Blake Green inside him, Blair Harris in the forwards, good buys, young Papa Lee, outstanding debut and played the full 80, scored a try. He's going to be something to look at. Maybe, just maybe, it's too early yet, but maybe they're going to spoil everybody's top eight there and be up somewhere near the top of it.
Yeah, good point. Hey, so I think I sent you a text on Thursday night late in the Dragons-Broncos game, and I said this was so un-Bennett-like to watch a football team he coaches drop so much ball. Have they been the most unimpressive team so far this round?
Well, both them and the Roosters.
Yeah.
I thought the Roosters were terrible yesterday. I see where the coach has given them a pass mark today in his summing up of their display. But I didn't think they showed much at all. It was the West Tigers' grit and determination. They had a player, and a terrific player too, in Luke Brooks, in the sin bin for 10 minutes. Full marks to the West Tigers. 60 minutes, it was 2-2. Hardly, one try each in the game. Until the Tigers wrapped it up with their late try to Corey Thompson, the sideline conversion from Lower Lear, and the competition favourites were beaten by a team tipped to be down in the bottom couple. First up, 10-8. I very disappointing in the Roosters, very disappointed in the Brisbane Broncos. They're the two disappointing sides, with the two most impressive, St George Illawarra and the Warriors. Now, a lot of the big guns fired, and several didn't. And the big guns who fired, I thought, were Ben Hunt and
yes.
James Graham for the Dragons. Kalen Ponga,
yeah.
What star he's going to be, this kid. Mm. He's bigger, bigger around the backside, bigger in the legs, bigger across the shoulders. Great off-season for him. Mitch Pearce's field goal, well, that's going to be folklore in Newcastle now as he builds his career there. And I thought Slade Griffin,
yes.
the stocky hooker from Melbourne, I thought he was great for Newcastle. Scored a try from dummy half, but generally very good. Benji Marshall, last played for the West Tigers 1,645 days ago.
There you go.
I thought old Benji was terrific last night, kept that side together. Blake Green for the New Zealand Warriors. Well, Blake's a veteran, but he just understands the game. And with him playing and calling the shots, it was very beneficial for Sean Johnson, who had a great game. I thought Kieran Foran showed us something like the Kieran Foran that we all know and respect, and I thought he was terrific for the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs, everybody's sort of feeling sorry for the Bulldogs, but they've got three Origin forwards in their pack, in Woods, Clemmer and Jackson.
Yeah.
So, you know, I thought they would be a little bit better than they showed last night against the Storm side that were greatly weakened by Billy Slater's absence. But he wasn't missed last night with
Munster.
With Munster, a monster. He was just fantastic.
Yeah, he was brilliant. The rookie.
Now, some of the big guns that didn't
oh, yeah,
fire,
yeah. Who didn't fire?
Well, I'm going to say, first up, Matthew Lodge. Was he worth the trouble?
Oh, he's a good player, Zorb.
He wasn't as bad as a lot of people expected. He was under a lot of pressure.
Yep.
Gee, he made some mistakes, though. And I suppose after all the time out of the game that he's had, you can probably give him the benefit of the doubt. But is he worth the trouble? I don't think so.
What about the
Tedesco?
Yeah, Zorb, just if I butt in there, what about the booing basically every time Lodge had the football? You could hear the chorus of boos from the crowd. What's your take on that, Zorb?
Well, the fans understand the game. They understand who should be in the game and who shouldn't be in the game. Now, they're entitled. They pay their money.
Yep.
They can boo their heads off, and they showed what they thought. And I'm not surprised. I'm surprised it went on for as long as it did. And it was 80 minutes, and he's got to live with that, poor bugger. I feel sorry for him in that regard. I don't think he should be in this position, but we spoke about that last week. I'm not for him playing our game at the moment.
I am for him playing, but the other one who was booed for 80 minutes was James Tedesco, you were going to get to.
Well, Jimmy, last night I thought he was nowhere near the player we know he is. He looked as though he's under pressure, and I don't think Cooper Cronk had all that great a game. I want more for $1 million a year than Tedesco and Cronk gave last night. Mm. Now, not easy to criticise Cooper, and I hope I'm doing it constructively, but I wanted a better game for him last night, and I don't think that the Roosters were clunky. Their forwards they were out enthused.
Mm.
I was surprised with that performance. I expected a better performance than that, but full marks to Ivan Cleary and his gutsy West Tigers. I was pleasantly surprised with what they put in. If you look at their side on paper, and you wouldn't put them within 25, 26 points of the Sydney Roosters, but they won 10-8 through sheer guts and determination.
Yep, 100%. Hey, Zorb, two more games to complete round one, and it's a beauty this afternoon at Penrith versus Power at 4:10. Then the Titans take on the Raiders at 6:30. How do you see them, Zorb?
Well, I had a good look at these games, obviously. It's going to be the survival of the fittest today at Penrith. 32 degrees temperature
yes.
high there today. Panthers and Parra. Now, both those sides not that far away from one another. They're used to the heat. I'm going for Parra. I've been very impressed with their pre-season form. I know that once the games start, they're just a tough football side to beat. They'll play it tough today. I'm looking forward to the clash of the halves, Norman and Moses against Maloney and Cleary. The clutch of the young fullbacks, Bevan French and Dylan Edwards. But it'll be up front in the forwards where it's won. And Parramatta won't take a backward step. The Penrith Panthers promise a lot. They're talking about you know, their coach and supporting him. I think they need to show it today. Having said that, I'm going for Parramatta as my first best bet of the season.
Right.
And I'm throwing them into the Canberra Raiders. I'm going for both the away teams today. Showers in the Gold Coast predicted for today. So I've done my homework on the weather for our listeners. Canberra against the Titans. I'm going for Canberra. I think another one rookie coach went down in a screaming heap last night and found out how tough it is in the NRL in Anthony Seibold. There was a lot of press about him prior to last night's game, and that's natural enough for a new coach. People want to know about him, and the media are entitled to do that. But
yeah.
I think that Garth Brennan will also find out today that it's a tough gig being in charge of an NRL side. I think Ricky Stewart's Raiders, he's obviously given his side a shake-up because he's got Blake Austin on his bench,
yep.
starting with Aiden Caesar at 5'8 and Sam Williams at halfback. I think they'll pave the way for what should be a good win up there at Cbus Stadium. So I'm going for Parra into Canberra as my best bets today, and my Zorba Zappers.
Now, is that at the line, or are you going head to head?
I'm going head to head.
Head. Okay, so that's can you believe it? Parramatta were $2.20 when this market first went up. They're now into a $1.80 favourite. And $1.65 the Raiders over the Gold Coast. So that's your first zapper. $1.80 into $1.65. Para into the Raiders. Good on you, Zorb. We'll speak again next week.
Okay, boys.
Thanks, Pete.
There he is, Peter Peters, with all his thoughts on the game of rugby league. Let us know whether you agree, disagree, or otherwise with Zorba 1353-53. We'll take a break now. We'll be back with Glenn Schofield.
Sky Sports Radio brings you a wide array of programs to complement our national racing service.
I am so looking forward to my chinwag this morning.
Chinwag with Cozzy, every Thursday morning. Talks with owners, trainers and history makers.
I love these chinwags. It's great to have a chat with people.
Can't believe that it's taken you this long to get me on the show.
Well, the trouble is you're so introverted.
Don't start using those big words, mate.
Every Thursday morning through summer at 10:30 on Sky Sports Radio.
Take your year up a gear with incredible deals on Volkswagen utes and vans, like the Amarok Core 4x4 turbo diesel with the largest trainer's class from just $40,990 drive away, or the Amarok V6 4-line turbo diesel auto, the most powerful ute in its class, with 180 kilowatts of power on overboost and 3.5-ton towing from just $54,990 drive away. Hurry in for Volkswagen's year in gear deals. They won't last long. Conditions at Volkswagen.com.au.
This month, we're cooking up a storm at Bingley.
What are you cooking, Mum?
It's a metaphor for our kitchen and laundry month.
I knew that.
No, you didn't.
I know there are top brands like Miele, Smeg, Westinghouse and more on display, and are cooking experts in store. And a bonus 10% gift card on selected ovens, cooktops and range hoods.
Come and see what's cooking at Bingley.
That's a metaphor?
No, it's not.
Check out our kitchen and laundry month at Bingley.
It's English and Fell Swoop fighting it out. Chautauqua very late. It's English a half length in front. Can he do it? Chautauqua, he's flying. Yes, there's history. Chautauqua makes it 3 in a row. That is unbelievable.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray. 8:22 on your Sunday morning. Tigers gone to equal lead, Jim.
Yeah,
he's gone to 8 under. He's equal lead now with Connors. So your man Tiger is back.
Market's shut so far for the Masters. So wait till they're open again. It'll be interesting after
he's
this.
He's timing his run well.
Yes.
Tell you who timed his run perfectly yesterday was Glenn Schofield on this absolute excitement machine, Kemantari. What about James Cummings' quote to me after the race? We haven't seen the best of this colt yet, which
scary.
Makes sense. It was only his 9th start. We've got Glenn Schofield, the jockey, on the line. Glenn, good morning. And how good is he? How good is Kemantari, Glenn?
Morning, Ray. Morning, Jimmy. Look, I think he was evident yesterday that he's the best of the three-year-old bunch at the moment, and they're a pretty deep... They're a pretty deep lot this year. He's just very exciting to ride, and I think James is pretty right. We haven't really seen the ultimate best of him because his win yesterday was quite soft.
Oh, it was brilliant.
But dominant late, yeah.
How many gears you've been through yet? I remember a month ago, Glenn, you said, this horse has got gears and I wasn't out of first gear yet, and that was about a couple of runs since then. Did you get into second gear? Surely you got into second gear yesterday.
Yeah. I did, certainly. Look, it's been a while since I drove a manual car, so you know, I might have slipped him into neutral for a while at the end there. But, look, he's just an exciting horse. He's a full package. He's got size. He's got substance. And he's got an aura about him. I'm not sure if you got any vision of him standing down at the barriers yesterday. He just stood there and was looking at the backdrop of the city and the grandstand and just taking it all in like a true professional. So when a horse does that, you know that their mind's focused, they're on the game, nothing is distracting them, and he's just a pleasure to ride. Mm.
You said yesterday, Glenn, you got a touch further back than you probably anticipated, but it didn't bother you because when you press the go button, he just unleashes.
Yeah, look, they went, the track was running really quick yesterday, and I'm sure by that stage of the day, you know, everybody had in their mind that, you know, you had to pretty much be on speed and, you know, the rolling along and horses weren't finding it tough in the lead. But they rolled along pretty quick and I was just happy to let him find his feet and be where he was comfortable early on. I did find a nice position with some decent horses around me to drag me into the race and to follow. So I was pretty happy the whole way around.
Mm-hmm. Does it have any impact on you, Glenn, knowing that what a race like that, a Group 1, Randwick Guineas, from a breeding point of view, what that can have. As a jockey, do you feel that extra pressure with so much riding on the race?
Of course, you know what the significance of the results are, for sure.
Mm.
But, you know, you've got to put that out of your mind. You've got to do your job first and foremost. I always used to say to Chad, it doesn't matter what race you ride in, you've got to start and you've got a winning post and you've got to get there first if you can. So, you know, all horses need you to do the right thing for them and then they'll do the rest for you. So, it's a lot, I must say, it is a lot easier when you're riding horses of that caliber that you know, they can do things that most other horses can't. And it wasn't as if he had to do anything out of the ordinary yesterday other than settle where he was comfortable and then quicken up. But, that weight of expectation is there, but as soon as you get out into your horse, you're focused on what you're supposed to be doing and hopefully get the job done when required. Mm.
51.5 in the Doncaster, Glenn. How light can you ride?
I'm sitting in my spot at the moment trying to lose some weight. So Sunday morning, that doesn't normally happen for me, but it's in preparation for Canberra today. So but I don't think I can get down to that weight, 51.5. I'd be required to ride with my legs, so I'd get that weight up and chop my legs off.
That's going to make things difficult, Glenn, so yeah, don't do that. James asked you to count to 5. He thought maybe you counted to 10 before you left out Gemitari. Is that right?
I'm not sure. I must have counted to 5 with a stutter. Just a bit of nerves creeping in there, Jim, as you were asking.
Yeah.
But, look, I was just travelling that three. There was no need to be in a rush and panic and give him a dig early on. But the way he accelerates, I think I made a comment after his win in the Hobartville. You know, if you bottle him up and hold him for that explosive turn of speed, it was a bit different in the Hobartville. But yesterday, pretty much saw what I felt he could do. So it was great for him to do that.
Hey, Glenn, you did cop an 8-meeting suspension, unfortunately, off the Guineas winning ride. That will rule you out of Golden Super Day. Do you tend to appeal that penalty, Glenn?
Look, I'd like to. I believe there's a lot of circumstances there that negated my culpability for that interference. But Stuart saw it a different way. I'm sure my views are maybe a little bit biased towards myself, but, that's the view I took, so I probably will. I'll reflect on it a little bit later today, and I've got till lunchtime at 4 o'clock tomorrow to throw that appeal in. But chances are that I probably will. Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Gee, the Aussies were dominant in that first cricket test, weren't they, Glenn?
Oh, took a week for me to ride a winner for you to bring that up.
We couldn't wait to get you on.
No, they're in front.
Yeah, probably on Elise last week and you could poke me in the ribs.
Yeah. How long did you watch it for last night, Glenn? Because obviously your man, AB de Villiers, he's the key tonight. Wow. He's 74 not out.
Yeah, look, he was... I mean, Amler was an Elgar. They were scoring at snail pace. By South African standards, which is slow anyway, but when AB got his eye in, he certainly made it look like a different pitch. He's just quality all round. Doesn't matter what he does, he's good at it. So it was good to see us put a small lead after day two. But Port Elizabeth, that place, it can rain at times. So I think we'd have to get our scoring boots on and maybe get a decent lead if we can, and then hopefully bowl Australia out.
What's the tough chase in the fourth innings, Glenn, at Port Elizabeth?
Oh, look, it doesn't look like it's been that dominant for the batsmen at the moment.
Mm.
And it does get, traditionally, it does get more difficult to bat as the test goes on. So, if you put a few hundred on the board lead, which doesn't seem that likely at the moment, but with AB there, if he gets a century or more, you just need someone to partner up.
Mm.
You never know. If you can get a 150 lead, that'd be awesome, I reckon.
Mm. Hey, I don't know whether you're listening to the program if you're in the sauna there at home, but stick around because we've got a guy as our legend of the game today. I think you might have heard of him. His name's Barry Richards.
Oh yeah.
What a player, Glenn. What a player.
I've only met Barry once. It was at the races at the JMB Met 1 year. He was the guest of a trainer I was riding for. It was very brief because I was there after the races and he wasn't there much longer. But a really good mate of mine who Barry would know quite well is Mike Proctor.
The great Mike Proctor. Yeah. All the same year. What a team.
Bowled off the wrong foot, didn't he, Glenny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did, yeah.
I've seen there's a thing on YouTube, a phenomenal bowling spell where he gets basically 6 for 1 in a county game, Mike Proctor. Just bowling blokes for fun.
Richards, Proctor. Yeah. Oh, like, what an era.
Great side. Glenn, well done yesterday. Outstanding work on Kemantari. Enjoy the little break you're going to get, although you don't get it today. You're down in Canberra, of course, as you mentioned. But appreciate your time early on a Sunday.
Pleasure. And any time you want to talk about the cricket, you're in front, give me a ring.
Thanks,
yeah,
Glenn.
Yeah, exactly, when you're in front. Yeah. Hopefully we never ring you in the next 3 weeks, Glenn.
Thanks, Glenn.
There he is, Glenn Schofield. Always good with his time and loves talking about the cricket. How about Zorba worry more about the very poor game that Cherry Evans had and not worry about Tedesco or Cronk? Cherry Evans was very poor on Friday night and is on more dollars than both Tedesco and Cronk. Rooster Mick from Goulburn.
And Polly chimed in. Disagree with Zorba. Have a look at the completions and missed tackles in the Roosters Tigers game. That's what you were saying. Very low error rate, very tight contest.
It was a tight contest. Still doesn't necessarily tell the whole picture. I think Zorba got it right. And they were out enthused, the Roosters. They were just a little bit hungrier, the West Tigers. 13-53-53, the open line number. We're going to take a break here. We'll be back with more of your calls. And, of course, we'll have the Event Cinemas quiz coming up very shortly.
If you love a bet, then we bet you'll love our $50,000 projected Big Six pool on the Country Championships qualifier meeting at Grafton today. That's right, $50,000. Don't miss a minute of the action with Sky Racing live on the Tab app. You can even watch while you scroll our great odds and bet. Download the Tab app or visit tab.com.au. Tab, we love a bet. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
Penrith Mazda awarded Mazda Master Dealer 2017. You stopped betting on that months out, didn't you?
Oh, well, they had to. Just a weight of money. Everyone was snapping up the $1.03.
It was Winx Black Caviar stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah.
With over 300 vehicles, over 5 acres, you're sure to find the Mazda you're looking for. Right now, get a $1,000 go bonus on the whole range of 2017 CX-3, CX-5 and CX-9s. Plus, 12 months free rego, CTP and stamp duty on all CX-3s. Conditions apply. Penrith Mazda, your family-owned and operated Mazda dealer, Mulgile Road, Penrith, just off the M4, MD18808.
Creek in the face of Cotton.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgile Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Lots of SMS coming in. Hey, guys, what's your take on this year's clock stopping? Can't understand why clocks stop after a conversion but not a penalty. Also, why does the clock stop? Here we go. Why does the clock when the kicker is ready for attempt, restart when kick is taken, stop after a few seconds when the ball has passed the post? Why not stop the clock when the try is awarded and restart when play resumes from the kickoff? Regards from the ankle.
That makes sense.
There has been changes this year. Yes, you've picked up on that very nicely, ankle. And I agree. Stop the clock when the ball is not in play. It just gives you more play. It gives you more play. And people say, oh, but you can't have a conversion outside of the actual game time. Yes, you can. Change the rule. Give the fan, either sitting at home or in the ground, more to cheer about. Mm. And if the games go longer over a longer period of time, they're 80-minute games, if they end up going longer, so be it. Excuse me. Broadcasters will love it.
100% agree, yeah.
Broadcasters will love it. And then I hate the times when people take their time.
The scrum towards the end of that game last night.
Exactly.
Like it was 20 I know it's only 20 seconds, but it's not a good look, Jim, when both packs just mull around knowing they've got time, they can milk it, and then the game's over.
Totally, totally. 13:53:53, the open line number. Max is there. G'day, Max.
Hello, Jimmy. Hello, Ray.
Hey, good morning, Max.
Gee, what a relief. Producer Jeremy is gone.
Mate, I'm with you, Max.
Yeah. Producer Steve just slipped into the role, Max, like he's been doing it for years.
Yeah, well, we've got a producer with a sense of humour now.
No, that's an excellent point you make, Max.
Jeremy was a good man, Jim. Come on.
I'm going to miss the questions, though. Yeah, who ran third place in the national knitting competition in Kazakhstan?
I didn't know where half these countries were even existed. Seriously, it was
an education piece.
I was learning something every Sunday, Max. Yeah.
I listened to you, your praise of the NRL so far. It was very, very astute observations. I'm going to have a go at you too now.
Okay.
What brings you back to mediocrity?
There's a lot of things. Max, where do you want to start?
How long have you got, Max?
We've only got an hour and a half of the show to go.
Is this side bet that you're having on the quiz?
Oh, yeah.
Now, fair dinkum, where does it rate as far as viewers, as far as listeners, interest on a scale between 1 to 10, 1 being late, rating very low?
This is not a trick question like Fletcher Hindy on Fox Sports or anything, is it?
Ted rating very high.
Right.
Where does it rate? Tell me.
Very good point.
For the listeners?
Good luck answering this
one. I rate the quiz as 10, but this side bet you're having, as far as the interest of your listeners, minus 5.
The three cartons. Yeah.
No, well, I'll say 1 because your Gala scale of 1. However, the interest between Ray and I, 12 max.
Of course it is. You've got 2 cartons on.
Three
cartons.
The biggest problem, of course, Max, is actually getting them if Jimmy loses. That's the biggest
problem. Hang on a minute. I paid up well before time last year, and you know it.
You milked it right to the very
paid up so you had them for Christmas. The troops will be home in time for Christmas.
What was our last show, the 23rd or something? On the 24th, it was Christmas Eve. Took them home Christmas Eve.
Anyway, did you have them?
I did, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, all right. There you go. Ladies,
does Max go down in a potential...
Well, I'm trying to work out the point Max was making. Yeah?
He was having a go at it, which was, I think, you should put him down.
He took his time to get there, didn't he?
Give him a Cosmopol cap.
Yeah, give you a Cosmopol and a King's Trust cap coming your way, Max. Lads, the heart in the mouth moment for a chance to win a top hat for my tails attached. This is Crossy, who's got Winks Budgie Smugglers.
Wow. Winks Budgie Smugglers.
Matty John's field goal attempt in the 97 grand final seemed to float up and take forever to drift right of the post. Cheers, Crossy.
Mm.
Didn't matter in the end. They got there.
And Benny Elias is in the 89 grand final.
Hit the crossbar. Oh. Hit the crossbar. Paul's on the line. G'day, Paul.
Yeah, hey, Ray, Jimmy.
Good morning, Paul.
My heart and the mouth stuff was the 2016 Cronulla winning the premiership the last 30 seconds.
Just
couldn't believe that Melbourne was going to score, and I was just hoping they weren't, you know.
Good point. It was a great game, wasn't
it? Yeah.
And so was the 2015 game. I know you're probably a Sharky supporter, Paul, but
the
Cowboys game the previous year was also heart-in-the-mouth stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, I just thought we can turn the porch light off, surely, this time, you know.
Paul.
Waiting all those years.
I know friends of mine who were at the ground who were mad Shark supporters, they couldn't watch the last minute of the game.
No, I was the same. I couldn't. I had to turn and just sort of half listen and then have a quick look, and then, you know, it was heart in the mouth, you know.
Yeah.
And then I'm still celebrating.
One of the great grand finals.
It was Ricky Latelli should go down in history as a great of the club just because of that tackle that he made.
Exactly.
Epic.
Yeah, exactly right. Jimmy, yeah, exactly, mate.
What did you make of your round one loss to the Cowboys up at Townsville, Paul?
Error-ridden, as usual. I think we're going back to the dropsies again. They just seem to push the pass too much. You know, they've got stuff to work on, but when you're playing Thurston, you know, like he's a different league to everyone else. He's just a champion, that bloke. And
I thought Matty Mullen was almost trying too hard, wasn't he, to make things happen late in the game?
Yeah, you're probably right there, Ray. Yeah, yeah. They were a good side, you know. But we'll keep working at it. We'll be up there when it's, you know, when the whips are cracking.
Oh, sure.
They're a good side,
yeah.
Paul.
Yeah.
They're a good side. And
listen, just another thing. I want to thank Paul Joyce for tipping me Al Merton yesterday at 1670, I think it was, on the tab.
Oh, good man, Paul.
Yeah, so I had a few dollars each way. It was lovely. A great win, so...
Oh, well, good stuff.
Thanks, Joycey.
No, it's good name, Paul.
Joycey.
Hey, thanks for the call, Paul. Jimmy's writing your name down as we speak.
Three asterisks on that one.
Paul.
Very hard to beat. 1353 53, the Apple line number. Listen to this one. This comes in from Muzz.
Mm-hmm.
It's an SMS. Daily Cherry Evans put $40 worth of petrol in his car yesterday. He paid for it with a $50 note, but he only got $6 in change. More proof he never gets back the 10. I had to read that three times. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but that was very,
very
good.
Clever. Is
very
that,
clever,
Muzz. Gang little list.
Yeah, that Muzz can go down on that for the SMS. Dougie's on the line. G'day, Doug.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How are you?
Morning, Doug.
Morning, Ray. I was to talk about two topics. James Roberts will be in the blue side.
I tell you what, he's bulked up, hasn't he? James Roberts, he's put on some kilos. They're talking about it during the game. He's definitely bulked up, but is he an Origin player, Jim?
We don't have to pick them now, so we won't. We should.
And the other topic, Mark Carroll and Chief Harrigan.
Oh,
good point. What was the night when they, in the very first tackle from the kickoff, they just, was that up at Newcastle?
That was 1995. It wasn't the first tackle. It wasn't the first tackle of the kickoff. Manly had scored.
Ah, that's
and
right.
They said, right, Chief, we're going to replace you. And he said, give me one more set of six. And so they went up there and they kicked off to Mark Carroll and he knocked himself out, Paul Harrigan.
Yeah.
Carroll and them still make up mates, don't they?
Oh, they're still mates. In fact, I think Matty Johns is doing something tonight. Sunday, they took Spud Carroll up and with Chief Harrigan on Friday night and did something.
Wow.
So stick around for that one. If you
that
love
was
those battles.
That was stuff because both those men. Sorry, Doug.
That's a good one, isn't it? I call about that one.
That is a good one, Doug.
Yeah.
I tell you what.
Down
a bit
little
of self-promotion there from Dougie.
He's got you down the list, Doug. You're in the running, mate.
There you go.
Won't be last, mate.
No. You won't be last. That'll be Andrew who asked for a Winx cap, so he'll be last. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break. Call now if you'd like to be a part of the Event Cinemas quiz. Just a little score up, and this is for you, Max.
5-4, James. Three cartons resting on this, Max. Three cartons.
Call now.
Reckon you know your NRL inside out? Join the Sky Sports Radio tipping competition and you could win epic prizes like a trip to Hong Kong or the Melbourne Cup. As well, it's free to join. It couldn't be easier to play. In fact, you'll get a reminder each week so you never forget to put your picks in. To be part of the fun, sign up at bigsportsbreakfast.com.au today and opt to join the Sky Sports Radio League. Thanks to Fox Sports and Ambassador Travel.
See website for details. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly.
Signature Bespoke. Tailored suits made to order. Special Easter package. Get two custom-made suits and two shirts from just $650. Don't miss the special fitting event March 22, 23 and 24. Visit signaturebespoke.com.au to make an appointment.
The mighty All Blacks, shelled by Ireland for the first time in history. Their American dream has come true.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Now, Ray, just before we get to the quiz, a little bit earlier, we had Eagle-Eyed Phil who sent us an SMS and said, ask Pat Webster whether he thinks Happy Clapper could go to the Everest.
Mm.
And to be honest, hand up, I forgot to do it.
We both did.
Yeah. You have subsequently made contact with Pat.
Yeah, I sent Pat a text. He's replied. I was going to say that. but I thought the owner might freak out. So it's obviously in the back of Pat's mind that potentially he could set the clapper for the Everest first up. So you never know.
So there you go. Actually, if you want to be... We've got a caller for the quiz now. We need another caller for the quiz. You can play for Ray if you like. That'll get, that'll get the phones going.
Why is no one not ringing?
Now, this comes in from Scooter. We're talking about heart in the mouth stuff. Heart in the mouth stuff. Going to the local on a Sunday when not having total recollection of leaving on a Saturday. We've all been there.
There's a common theme with Scooter's texts.
Yes, you're right, though. There is. Yeah.
Apart from being very funny.
That was, no, Scooter, we can all relate to that. We can all relate to that. 1353 53, the open line number. Call now if you'd like to be a part of the quiz, because Noel has done that. Who's batting first?
You can open the bowling.
Open the bowling. All right, batting, bowling. Here we go. Yep. Noel.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Yeah, morning, we're really well, mate. You ready for this?
As ready as I can be.
All right. Here we go. Question one. By the way, if you want to go head-to-head with Noel, call now on 1353 53. Question one. If you went to see the Maple Leafs, Raptors or the Blue Jays play at home, what city would you be in?
Repeat that again.
If you went to see the Maple Leafs, the Raptors or the Blue Jays play at home, what city would you be in?
Is it in Australia?
Oh, hang on, that's a massive clue.
Well, you can say no, it's all right. It's a big world, Jimmy, out there.
Yeah, you're right. No.
It's not in Australia. Okay. Japan?
I don't like your chances if you're saying don't know where the Maple Leafs are. So the city is Toronto in Canada.
Toronto, okay.
Yeah.
Never heard of it. I mean, no, I've heard of Toronto, but the question, never heard of that. Those two.
Okay.
It's okay.
All right. Doesn't fill me with a whole heap of confidence going forward, Noel. But anyway, here we go. Which Aussie sports star was quoted this week as saying, with the shoulder, I think I've just got to take a cup of cement and harden up? Was it Billy Slater, Nick Kyrgios, or Isaac Luke?
Kyrgios?
Isaac Luke, it was.
Isaac Luke. Okay.
Yeah. Could have been forgiven if you said Slater too. But
yeah,
I was thinking of Slater actually, but no, I said no, it can't be. It's too obvious.
Yeah. Noel, question three.
Yeah.
Australia won the first test in South Africa without scoring a century. Who was the highest run scorer for the test match? Was it A, Mitchell Marsh, B, Steve Smith, or C, Dave Warner?
Marsh.
Ooh, well here done. We go.
96.
Good on you, yes. Noel. Well done. Well done. Stay on the line there, mate. Over to you, Raymond.
Yeah. Roy, good morning.
Hey, Ray. Jimmy, how are you, boys?
Terrific. Where are you from, Roy? Golgong?
Yeah, Golgong, mate.
Beautiful part of the world, James. You're
Roy the Butcher.
That's it, Jimmy.
Yeah, okay.
Remember me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you go and buy some meat off Roy?
No, I don't think we...
You did the out in Mudgee.
We did the Mudgee OB.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, did the Mudgee OB.
That's right.
Yeah. Live broadcast,
yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Come and say good day.
That's it, yeah. Oh, good on you, Roy. Hey, Roy, good news is I need one to tie and two to win, and we'll back you in from here, Roy. Question number one.
Yep.
If you went to see the mighty Rangers play at Ibrox Stadium or the Warriors play, how do you pronounce that, Jim? Scottsdale Stadium?
That'll do.
What city would you be in?
Rangers. New York, yes.
He's on the money,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, clarify that. Yeah.
Ibrox Stadium Rangers? Was the key. The mighty Glasgow Rangers in Scotland. That's okay, Roy. Question number two. Which Aussie sports star was quoted in 2017 as saying, I was trending more than Donald Trump last night? Was it A, Jeff Horn, B, Jack Riewoldt, C, Ash Barty?
I'll go Jeff Horn.
It was Jack Riewoldt, I think, after he was doing the singing on the AFL Grand Final. Yeah, so here we go, Roy. We'll back you in here. Question number three. Who was Australia's highest run scorer in the second innings of the first test match against South Africa? Was it A, Pat Cummins, B, Cameron Bancroft, or C, Sean Marsh?
Sean Marsh.
Bancroft got a 50. Bad luck, Roy. Bad luck. James,
bad luck, Roy.
James, you dash clear. You're doing a super two.
Bad luck, Roy, I say with no sincerity whatsoever. So there you go, 6-4. A little mini break.
Yeah.
I've won the first set. There you go. 1353 53 is the open line number. Noel.
Yep.
Yeah, you're there, Noel?
Yes, mate.
Yeah, congratulations.
Well done, Noel.
Well done.
Thank you.
We've got... two tickets to Event Cinemas heading your way.
Thank you very much.
All right, we've just got to get them from Prakash.
Okay. You haven't got them yet, Jim.
Not yet.
Didn't you? Wasn't that your? You had one job this week. One job. One job.
Well, given the fact that the footy season was starting, Tracy and I went to the movies last
Sunday.
Oh,
you've used them. That's what you've done. Noel, we'll get them to you. Don't worry, Noel. Somehow we'll get. Even have to pay for them myself.
We saw the movie I, Tonya. That Tonya
How
Harding.
Good is
so
it?
Is it in, I could almost claim it as a tax rebate.
How good is it?
Tax rebate. Oh, don't you feel sorry for the poor girl? She just had no chance, did she?
Her whole life. You come out with a different perspective, don't you, on Tonya Harding?
And the mother.
Oh,
great performance. She won the Academy Award, Alison Janney, for that performance.
Phenomenal.
It's just amazing.
And our girl was good too, playing Tonya.
Yeah, excellent.
She was
excellent,
great.
Superb.
Great movie. If you haven't seen it, it's well worth seeing.
And you couldn't believe that the bodyguard was so stupid until you saw the real interview of the bodyguard who was so stupid.
It was just extraordinary, wasn't it?
Oh.
It was a compelling movie, wasn't it, from start to finish?
Oh, the poor, you just felt so sorry for the poor girl.
Yep.
She never had a chance.
From the
wrong side of the tracks, and that was that.
And she sort of was labelled that from day one, wasn't she, the poor thing?
What about when the look on Nancy Kerrigan's face when she was awarded silver medal that she pointed out? I thought that was fascinating. She said, talk about bad sport. Who's the person that's a bad sport?
Exactly, yeah.
Was handed the silver medal.
You feel for Tonya Harding. She's had a few rough deals, cards dealt in her life, hasn't she?
So absolutely, absolutely. Big difference between heart in the mouth stuff over the result or when it's life and death. For mine, watching the J-Bay final live at midnight when a big fish ominously appears next to Mick Fanning. Stu from Newport.
That's going to be hard to beat. Very,
that's a
very
great
good
one.
Point.
That's a great one. 1353-53, the
Daniel
open line number.
Kyrgios sends Australia through to the semi-finals. Congratulations from the captain, Jim Courier, Sam Querrey. Disappointment for him, but not for the Australian team.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. Hi, boys. Roosters v. Tigers. Why was the ref allowed to go upstairs when the winger pushed into touch shortly before the last try? It was clearly a no-try. Denman Devil.
I haven't seen it.
Corey Thompson try. Mm-hmm. You're talking about the Corey Thompson try. There was no problem on that. Absolutely no problem whatsoever.
Okay.
So, not sure what you're talking about here. Now, someone sent in this photo that actually appears on the front page of today's Sun Herald with the South African cricket officials, with the supporters, and I'll use that in a very loose term, of the cricket who are wearing the Sonny Bill Williams mask, and they're saying, oh, isn't it stirring up Davey Boy before the test? Isn't it funny? Well, I don't think it's funny at all.
It's pretty poor form, because his wife and children are in the crowd as well at that test match.
It happened a mile ago. It happened years ago. So, I mean, that sort of stuff.
10 years ago, isn't it? Yeah.
It's incredibly distasteful. Say what you like about sledging, and I know Davey Warner... Yeah, you live by the sword. You live by the sword. You die by the sword. However, there is a line that you need to be very careful as to whether you cross it. 1353-53 is the open line number. Patrice is there. G'day, Patrice.
Yes. Good morning, James. Good morning, Raymond. How are you?
Good morning, Patrice. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
That's the way. What do you got for us, Patrice?
Heart of the mouth stuff, Raymond. I don't know if you remember. I think it happened about 3 years ago. When three or four or five horses fell in the Magic Cup.
It was the Magic Cup, was it, Patrice? Or?
Yes, it was definitely the Magic Cup.
Oh,
yes.
Hang on, no, I do remember it now, yeah. A few jockeys were quite badly hurt.
I saw the replay afterwards and it was horrible. You know, it's something you don't want to see happening at all. You know what I mean,
yeah,
Raymond?
Yeah, no, any fall's horrible to watch and your heart is in the mouth, as it was yesterday with Hugh Bowman on the ground for what seemed an eternity until he moved. And it's an awful feeling because, Jim, these jockeys put their lives at risk every time they're legged aboard at track work, barrier trials, in races.
Well, as the great Malcolm Johnson says, it's the only sport in the world where the ambulance follows the competitors.
Yeah, very good point.
So we understand it. Good on you, Patrice. Appreciate that one.
Yeah, good call.
That's a good one. It's a bad one. But we understand what you're talking
about. Perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. 1353-53, the open line number. John is there. G'day, John.
G'day, Jimmy. It's John from Westmead, mate.
Oh, g'day, mate.
Yeah, what I've got is a heart and mouth stuff, mate. I don't know if someone's already put it on yet, but I remember, I think it was Australia versus New Zealand up at Lang Park, and I think it was Greg Dowling was walking off the field, and he had a punch up with the other New Zealand prop.
Yeah, who was the prop?
Kevin Tarmany.
That's it, Tarmany, and he could fight, couldn't he, Kevin Tarmany?
I think Kevin Tarmany was a heavyweight boxer.
Yeah. I remember that, John. That was that Donnybrook went on for ages, didn't it? On the sideline against the fence there.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I think it was pouring rain and they slipped over and they belted at each other quite a few times. Yeah, it was quite spectacular.
1985, and famously there was a famous photograph that appeared that was published, and I'm pretty sure in writing saying that there were two future Australian reps who were young boys who appeared in the photo. One of them was Kevin Walters, who played in an earlier underage game on that same night in 1985. And the other was Australian cricket captain Mark Taylor.
Were they sitting there or...?
They were there just because...
On the fence.
No, Mark Taylor had played for New South Wales Universities in a game against Queensland Universities in the warm-up game.
Rugby league.
Rugby league.
Gee, there you go.
Rugby league. Mark Taylor was in that photo.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
They just on the sideline or something. Were they
like,
oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, if you've played in the earlier game, you just sit on the sideline or whatever. That's what they were doing, yeah.
How about that?
That's a good one, John.
Yeah, good call, John.
Well done, guys. Love your show.
Thanks, John.
Good on you.
Oh, geez, Jimmy's, I'll tell you what.
Jimmy's just put four asterisks next year, John.
You come up with a... Thanks for taking my call, guys. I love the show. I mean, there's two asterisks just to start, isn't it?
What do you think Sabrina might say?
Well, before we get to Sabrina, Greg... Yeah. Via Twitter, if you want to send a tweet at Big Sports WEND. We just had Max on earlier, and we're still trying to get to the point of Max's call. He was talking about the quiz and so forth. Greg says, Max, your call was a minus five. Now we're starting to understand it a little more. Thank you, Greg. We do appreciate that. Sabrina is on the line. G'day, Sabrina.
Hi, how are you today?
Yeah, good morning,
well,
Sabrina.
Thanks.
Has anyone said Jonathan Thurston in the grand final when he kicked that goal?
Mm. Yep, no one has.
Which one are you talking about?
Well, when Kyle Felt went over in the 80th minute and then he had to kick the goal to score the grand, you know, to win, and he didn't do it.
Yep.
And then that went into overtime and Ben Hunt dropped the ball and all of that sort of stuff. That was very heart in mouth.
It certainly was. And Sabrina, we just relived every second of that issue. It was brilliantly described, because that was... Remember the look on his face when he missed the conversion? And he thought, no, extra time.
It was fantastic. Mm. And then I've got two little horse racing ones that are a bit sad, but I think there was an angel over Zach Purton with Admire Rackney in the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah,
that was a sad moment,
Because that horse could have just collapsed, but it somehow managed to finish, so that was really hard in mouth when you saw it go backwards.
Yes.
And the other one was recently with Joe Marrera with Rapid Dragon when
Telford
broke in a race, and it didn't go down for Joe.
Mm.
It stayed upright, and something saved Joe that day, because, you know, any other horse would have gone down, but that was a very heart-in-mouth thing as well, because that was a favourite to win that race.
That's right. Yeah, two great horses. Sabrina, fantastic call. And Jimmy's just put three asterisks next to it.
Sabrina. What about that? The thing about Matt Scott went up to Jonathan Thurston before that kick and said, don't worry if you miss it, we'll win it in extra time.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
But the look on Jonathan Thurston's face, remember when he missed it, he was so upset with himself.
And how long was there a shot clock on his conversion attempt there?
It took forever.
It took forever.
It was great for the TV.
Because that's when, of course, we had the great call from Radford Morgan.
Yeah, that's right. But, is that the greatest grand final of them all?
Oh, 89.
It was absolutely epic. Yeah, 89 was great.
89 was great. But remember, you know how he...
So many twists and turns in...
He swings them around right to left, JT.
Yeah.
He hit that one flat.
He did, yeah.
Remember, flat straight at the
curve.
Post.
Didn't have his curve.
So, yeah, great call. Great call, Sabrina. Diane is there. G'day, Diane.
Hi, I'd like to nominate... I think it was the Rose Hill Giddies back in 96.
Oh.
With Saintly, Octagonal, Falante... And
nothing like a Dane.
Yeah, they all hit the line together.
Yeah, you're 100% right, Dane. That was one of those rare times in horse racing when the pre-race hype lived up to the the actual contest itself, wasn't it?
I still don't know this day who really won it.
Yeah, octagonal.
Who'd you back, Diane?
I think I was on Saintly.
Okay, yeah, it was octagonal just from Saintly. One of the great races, wasn't it, Diane?
Yeah,
Then they backed up and basically did it again in the Derby a couple of weeks later.
That's right.
Yeah, good call, Diane. Jimmy's okay. Just writing that one down with a couple of asterisks.
Thanks, Diane. We do appreciate that. We've got the news chasing us just about 9 o'clock here at the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Now, legend of the game, stick around for this, the great Barry Richards.
Live from South Africa.
We might also talk about the test series that's going on there. Just a little side note, right? Mm-hmm. How's our demographic going of our listeners? Our last two calls was Diane and Sabrina.
That's good.
Wow.
We just need Sophie to ring up now, that's all.
Who?
Sophie.
Please. 1353 53 is the open line number. Maybe Judy can give us a call.
Judy or Vicky from Port Macquarie.
Yeah. Well, what are you saying?
Or Michelle from Dubbo.
Strength in the female demographic.
We've got a lot of law listeners there. A lot of law...